The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 5th day of December, 2012. The Dow's up 113 points, S&P is up 4, the comp is up 23, make that down 23, markets are all over the place. Gold is down a buck, crude is off 30 cents, I believe, Apple's nearing a death cross, and Citibank is up a buck and a half. They announced today they're going to lay off or reposition 11,000 people. And for those of you who know Fresh and Easy, Tesco's pulling out of the U.S. I thought Fresh and Easy was an incredibly successful business model. I know it is for me and my family. We have one right up on the corner. It's practically the only place we shop anymore. It has encouraged us to shop daily, more like Europeans than the typical American family that goes and stocks up for the entire month and puts it in a deep freezer. We go on a daily basis and buy what we need for the day, some fresh food. Well, you know, not that we don't stock anything up. We do. We have some stuff in the freezer. But Fresh and Easy was a welcome addition to our neighborhood. And the talks are that it will be bought out, that it's not necessarily going to go away, but that Tesco is looking to divest themselves of the property. So, Michael, are you with us?
I am. Okay. I am with you.
Just wanted to check. Did the opening of the show play?
It did.
Oh. Because I had one button that was wrong, and I didn't know if that would throw the whole thing off or not.
Yeah, please.
The market's really got a boost here. Now, the president spoke this morning to a businessman's roundtable. And then overnight, we had issues with the futures exchanges, and data was not getting reported. If Bert's on later in the show, perhaps we'll be able to shed some light on exactly what happened and why there's a loss of data. That's why for today you only see 1, 2, 3, 4 hourly candles. This was an exchange-wide problem. I don't know. I know it affected multiple platforms. I don't know if there are any platforms that were not affected by it. If you have a platform that was not affected.
We don't see your charts. I just sent you the thing to pop them on. All right.
There you go.
Uh-oh. There we go. That's better.
Okay. All right. So the president this morning, whatever the market's cued off of in his off-the-cuff remarks at the business roundtable in Washington, he was in a firm stance that he would not be playing the game of negotiating raising the debt ceiling. He said a rise in the debt ceiling would have to be a part of a deal to avert the so-called fiscal cliff. Obama quoted John Engler, the president of the business roundtable, who charged in November that it's not a good weapon for anything except destroying our own credit rating. That is a bad strategy for America, it's a bad strategy for your business, and it's not a game I will play, Obama said. We're not going to play that game again next year. We're going to break that habit before it starts. Now, this morning, the U.S. Treasury outlined the so-called McConnell provision, which would change the debt ceiling, not into something that has to be raised, but something that has to be voted against. Under the proposal, the debt ceiling would automatically rise unless Congress voted against it. Now, this is a real fundamental change in how America does business. Currently, to increase our spending limits, we have to approve it. Basically, what this does is creates a credit card for America that has no limit. And the only way it can be reined in is if Congress can gather enough votes to say, whoa, stop. So, this is big. In his remarks, Obama also maintained that it is not possible to raise enough revenue for a fiscal cliff deal by simply eliminating loopholes and deductions in the tax code, which is the plan that House Speaker John Boehner offered on Monday. He immediately amended that remark, saying it was possible, but not practical. The notion that somehow we're going to just eliminate charitable deductions is unlikely, Obama said. Obama repeated that for a deal to be reached with congressional Republicans, marginal tax rates must rise on incomes above $250,000. He said that House Speaker John Boehner is preventing that from happening. We can probably solve this in about a week, Obama said. It's not that tough. Well, you wish you were friends with Sheryl Sandberg. According to a new SEC filing, the chief operating officer of Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg, gave away 429,000 shares on November 20th, a gift worth $11.8 million. Now, the filing with the SEC did not name the recipient, but in most circumstances, if the gift is made to a relative or a family trust, then that fact would be disclosed. So thoughts are that Sandberg, who has championed many nonprofits seeking to improve the position of women in society, may have made a charitable donation. She's on the board of Women for Women International and V-Day, and serves on the advisory board of the Somali Mom Mam Foundation. The gift is a substantial portion of her total holdings, which were worth $720 million at last count. When Facebook was asked who the recipient was, a representative simply said, "I'm sorry, but we are not disclosing that." If you've been following the exploits of software developer John McAfee, he's been on the run, as you know, from the Belize police, who want to investigate him for the murder of his neighbor. Now, most recently, McAfee fled to Guatemala for refuge and was most recently staying in the 5-star luxury resort Vista Real in Guatemala City. Now, this guy knows how to go on the run in style. He made his money creating antivirus software and then selling the company to Intel for $7 billion. The entire tale of his flight has been bizarre. He faked his own capture, he's been tweeting his adventures, and he has been letting a journalist tag along with him and his girlfriend, and he's been blogging his exploits. His current hole-in-the-wall, Vista Real, has a beautiful pool and spa area, electric shoe shiners in the rooms, Wi-Fi, safe deposit boxes, mini bars in the room, airtight soundproof windows, a gym, and 24-hour concierge service. So, again, this man really knows how to go on the run in style. All right, that's pretty much it for headlines. The big news is the markets. They actually got up and took off.
Yes.
Let's have a quick look here. This is the S&P. Now, let's go look for just a quick minute before Michael does a recap. Did you listen to that voicemail I just sent you?
I did.
That's
I did.
Crazy.
That's brilliant.
I should play it for the listeners, but I guess I'll just make my point this way. Last night we had two tweets right here. Consider being long the Dow above 1305. Just looking for a 20 to 25 point move to 1330. If the move has gusto, maybe we'll stay with it. Okay. Let's look at that. And I would say that worked out pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that.
I would even say that.
You can really call the market right there.
I would even have to say that sort of looks like gusto to me. Does that look like gusto to you?
It's definitely got the gusto look to it.
Yeah. So from 13,005 to 13,067. So that's about 60 points in the YM. So, yeah, that's okay. So we're okay with that. There's only two tweets last night. The other one was in the soybean market. And that one, consider being long above 1467 for a 6-cent move. So 1467 is right here. And we were looking for a 6-cent move. And it's actually gone up to 79. And we were looking for just on that trade, consider being long above 1467 for a 6-cent move to 1473. So it went an additional 6 cents beyond what we were looking for. So those were the two tweets. They both turned out pretty well. So for anyone that was able to take advantage of those, congratulations. The soybeans, that one triggered early on, right after the soybean market opened. The YM didn't look like it was going to trigger until the markets put in their big reversal. And then, boom, we popped right up through there. So, that's it for me, Michael. You want to do the recap?
Okay. Sure. Let's do that recap. Yeah, I mean, you nailed that soybean trade. We all watched it live this morning. All right, let me grab the charts. I don't know. Maybe that person who left a voicemail. Maybe he's doing something else. Maybe he didn't mean to leave that voicemail for us.
Well, you know what? Here's what I think. Well, yeah, it could be. That's possible. It also could be that he doesn't understand the nature of the call. Like, consider being long above 1467. In other words, you don't get long until price hits 1467. But
either way, I think
either way,
was mistaken.
Yeah, I think he just, you know, was having a really horrible day. So I hope he feels better.
All right. Well, we are not. Let me get the recording started here, and we'll get right into this. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. Let's go right through the results here. We'll start right out. Crude oil, we had plus 13. NQ, plus 31. Soybeans, I had plus 10. Dwayne had another plus 6 times 4, plus 24. But I had plus 10. And on the gold, I had an unusually bad day on gold today. I was down 30 ticks on gold. Overall on the day, we're still up, not including Dwayne's plus 24, which is $300 per contract. Not including Dwayne's, we're up overall on the day. We're up over 2 points equivalent ES. Okay. Let's go through the trades. We'll start here. I didn't take any ES trades. As Dwayne had mentioned earlier, there was a problem this morning. With the data, so we got a late start. Well, we got in the room right on time, but the markets, the data feeds and stuff like that, got a late start, unfortunately. There were some trades available here on the 4-tick range, on the ES 4-tick range. We had gone through some of these in the live trading room this morning. I didn't take a single one of them. Okay, I wanted to let the data really get right again before I started taking any trades live. I didn't take any of these trades, but what we were looking at was the break of the trend line on the attempted pullback to the BBC right here, the close down below there, was a spot to short. Again, over here, spot to short. And over here, this one would have stopped out right here this morning. Okay, so you had two nice ones, then one stop out. Then it changed directions right here. Tested the BBC with an up close with bullish divergence. You could have gotten long right there. The trend line would have been broken at the same time. That worked out very well. There was another one right over here. Could have gotten long right in there during the break. And right now, we don't have any divergence to support a long trade here on the ES. But that's our trend line right there. So a close above that trend line should continue going up. You don't have the divergence, so I wouldn't anticipate a break in this level. It'll probably get up to about here if it does close above that trend line. Okay. That was the ES this morning. On the NQ, we took a bunch of trades. Let's see. I was showing stuff in here this morning again on the NQ. I'm gonna create something for the partners meeting tomorrow night. I jumped right through it all. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. All we ask for is your name and your email address to get you started. In the free trial, you get 5 business days in our live trading room. You also get to download the charting platform, all our indicators, and actually test it all out live with us, okay? Or test it all out in our live trading room. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a partners meeting tomorrow night. If you are on the free trial and you want to get into the partners meeting, you must become a partner before the meeting tomorrow night, okay? Let's see. There's another thing that we haven't discussed in a long time. It's the tuition reimbursement program. I'm just going to throw this out here right now because if you are a CFRN partner and say you refer a friend, if that friend becomes a partner as well, then we will share with you. I think it's $500 is what we said. Okay. If you become a CFRN partner. I mean, if you are a CFRN partner and you refer a friend who becomes a CFRN partner, the key here is that you have to be a partner yourself. All right. We'll also take 20% of any money after the mentoring period that is paid in, and donate that either toward the orphanage or, you know, split it up to you and the orphanage. Either way, it's a way of giving back to everyone who spreads the word. All right, now let's get back into this. What we were looking at here was it was pulling back up toward the BBC, and we closed down below the trend line. The entry was right in here on this close down below the trend line. The exit was down here. Okay. In this particular case, when you have divergence like this, you anticipate that the green line is going to work its way down into the cycle. And when it gets down into that cycle, that's when you think it's going to start pulling back again. Okay. All right. So it did it again right here on the other side. I didn't get any of this on the other side, but you can see right here was the trend line right there. Here was the bullish divergence. Here was the close above, and it moved up off of that. We got another short trade right in here. The same type of thing, the close down below that trend line. When the market's really moving with a lot of momentum, it might not pull all the way back up to the BBC. And in those cases, you can take the trade, the continuation trade, on a close down below that trend line. Okay. I had drawn these in here because if, like, let's say the BBC is this rectangular area up here. All right. You're anticipating price is going to pull back up there to an area of resistance in that rectangular area. And you're going to trade off of that when you get a down close. But if it doesn't pull all the way back up there, and say it pulls back like this, and this is the trend, and it starts to continue in the original trend, the entry spot would be over here once it starts to continue in the original trend. Okay? And that's what I keep doing over and over and over again. All these lines that I've drawn on here, well, some of them, just the up close would work because you have bullish divergence, but if you don't have the divergence, then you need the close above the trend line. Okay? You can see a couple more trades that I took in here on the NQ, and that was pretty much it on the NQ this morning. All right? Now, it's the same exact trade setup across all the four tick range markets. I didn't take any trades on the YM this morning. I didn't take any trades on the Russell. I did take gold, and I did take crude, and I'll go through those in a minute. I also took soybeans. My first trade on the soybeans was here after it opened. We tested the BBC and had an up close with the bullish divergence right down here. You can see I already have an arrow. Bullish divergence, I entered right here, and I took profit up here. There was another opportunity to jump in on this. A couple of different ways. One was right here. After it had established a downtrend line like this, but it had so much momentum that it didn't pull back to the BBC. It gave an up close right there. It moved up. Pulled back here. Did it again right there. It moved up. Again, it moved up. And again, it moved up. Those were all tradable spots on the soybeans. I'm sorry, I was reading your comment, Bruce, but that was more toward Dwayne, because I haven't talked about the YM, right? Okay, and right now what you would be looking for, you have bearish divergence with a down close. Right in there, you could have shorted right there. It wouldn't have given you much. Stop would have been a break-even. You'd have been stopped out of break-even. Right now you have a bullish cross. What you would look for, you don't have a trend that you can draw just yet. You need two bars to draw the trend. So you're just going to have to wait here for a couple of minutes. All right, there's the first bar. You may be able to draw a trend line like this, depending on how that bar works out. And then a close above that would be something that you can trade. All right, I didn't look at the 6E at all this morning. You know, the YM really took off and ran. And I wasn't watching it when it did. I should have been, but I was trading gold, and I was getting, you know, the gold was pretty choppy. When all this was happening, the gold was pretty choppy, and it chopped me up pretty bad. Usually I don't keep trading and chop like that, but I thought it was going to break out because everything else was. And it did, actually, after it chopped me up and we had to end the morning session. But any of these moves right here on the YM where price is pulling back down toward the BBC and it doesn't actually make it, like that one right there, close above would work on that. Over here, you know, as it's pulling back down toward the BBC, that's when you're looking to take a trade off the BBC. But if the momentum is so strong that that you can't, then you can take trades just on the close above those trend lines. Now, if you look down here, you see how many bars there were per minute down here. The market was moving pretty fast, so you may not have been able to do any of those trades. I didn't even try. Okay. Let's see, next market. Well, I'll do the gold right now. Okay. My trades on the gold, I had, in here I had, let's see, there were a lot of opportunities in here. I took this one right here, I got a little bit of profit on that, then I missed all this stuff in here. There were plenty of opportunities in here, but I wasn't able to take them because I was doing other things. The next one that I took was right over here. You can see there was an opportunity to get long right here. It was followed up by another opportunity to get long right there and right there. All of those are profitable. I got long over here, and that stopped me out. I got short over here, and that stopped me out. I took a break even there, and I got long over here, and that stopped me out. Stopped me out pretty much to the tick before it made this huge run up. Now, this run up right here is what I was expecting when I kept trading through all this right here. All right, this run up right here is what I was anticipating would happen. And unfortunately, I didn't have enough time in the live trading room to wait it out. You know, the live trading room ended right here after this last trade. That's when we closed down for the morning session. Okay. That was my goal this morning. Now, I didn't trade the Russell either, all right? But the Russell was, let's just look at this. The Russell had some pretty good opportunities, and I pointed a couple of them out right in here. I said, getting long on a close above this, and it looked like it was going to head up into the weekly trading zone. Obviously, you can see it went into this zone and then into this zone, and now it's it started to fail at that second zone, okay? In here, there were a bunch of opportunities after it started to move. I would not have traded it inside the weekly trading zone, but down here, there's the trend line that I was drawing on the pullback down to the BBC. There's the up close, and up it went, okay? Over here, well, here's the trend line on the pullback. Actually, there was, hang on, let me point something else out first. We had bullish divergence here and a pullback to the BBC with an up close. So right there was an opportunity to enter. And it pulled back down here. You started losing your divergence, so you would have needed a close up above the trend line. That happened right here. That one only went up a couple of ticks, and it would have stopped you out probably if you had like 8 ticks risk on it before it made the big move up. And that 820.5 down to, yeah, it would have stopped you out pretty much to the tick before it made the big move up that you were anticipating. And then it got right up into the zone. Okay. Crude oil. Now, we had crude inventories come out today. There was a bigger draw than anticipated. They were expecting minus 0.4 million, and it came out with minus 2.4 million. So that made for some interesting stuff right here at 10:30. You see all these bars from 10:30 to 10:31? That was based on the crude inventories. Let's see, we had gotten long right here, and then I realized that the crude numbers were coming out, so we got out right there. And we waited, and we took a long trade over here. And we missed all this stuff on the downside, but it was certainly there to trade, okay? If I had seen it all, I would have been trading it, okay? So we took that one trade over there, and we took this trade over here. These were the trades that we took in the live trading room. Okay. Again, what you're looking for is for the bullish cross of the MA1 over the BBC. That gives you the direction to look in. and then you're looking for price to pull back down and test the BBC. Find some area of support at the BBC, give you a close back in the direction of the cross, which would be up in this case, and you jump in on that up close. All right, that's the normal trade off the BBC if you have the bullish divergence. Okay, you want to make sure you have bullish divergence when you're doing that. If you don't have the divergence, then you can start to look at these trend lines. Because if you don't have the divergence, then the market's just trending, and down here isn't in sync with it at that moment. So at that point, you can just look to jump in on the trend. All right, you look at the trend lines and you wait for the price to close on the other side of the trend lines. That is what we do every day, all day, in the morning, in the live trading room. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with that. We're at the bottom of the hour here, and I will wrap it up. If anybody has any questions, you can email us at support@cfrn.net. If you haven't taken the free trial and you want to, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. If you're on the free trial and you want to get into the partners meeting tomorrow night, you need to become a partner, okay? You should have something in your email right now telling you how to become a partner. And if you do not, just send me an email at support@cfrn.net with partner info in the subject, okay? And I'll get that off to you as soon as I can. All right, that's it. Recording is off.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Not a problem. I did respond to Bruce, and I want to point this out again so that everyone understands when we put out a call or trade idea, whatever you want to call it on Twitter, that you have to read the writing on the wall, so to speak. The comment was, well, yeah, that was a that was a pretty nice trade. However, the drawdown was pretty dramatic. And I says, what drawdown? And he said, well, all the way down to 12,900. And it was an easy, and I'm glad that he brought that up, because it gives me an opportunity for anyone that has maybe followed along and not really understood. It gives me just an opportunity to explain exactly what it means. And I'll do that really quick, and then we'll go to David and Robin. Oh, where'd my little window go? Here it is. Because above and beyond anything else, guys, we always are going to be just totally transparent with you. We trade live, and then we make videos of the of the recap, and then we put it on the internet for everybody to see. How many of those videos are out there, Michael?
Over 300, I think.
Okay, over 300 videos that recap exactly what happened in the live trading room. And from a marketing perspective or type of thing, it would probably not be in our best interest to put the poor days out there. It would probably serve us better if we just put the really good days out there. But we don't. We just put them all out there. We just put them out there. We recap it here on the radio show, and then we just put them out there. Because we believe in transparency. We believe that you need to understand what really goes on in the world of trading, not just what happens on a good call or on a good day, but what happens on every call and every day. So, even on the tweets that go sour, I point those out too. I probably point those out quicker than I do the ones that go in our favor. Like I say, you can go back through the last couple of years of tweets. I'm not trying to boast about what great tweets they are, just that we put it out there, and then you can use that idea to build your own trade, get into the market, not get into the market. But if it's, we don't just like sweep stuff under the carpet, neither in the tweet feed or in the trading room. So anyway, not to beat that point to death, but I think I did pretty good. Let's go 13005. I have a sluggish mouse. Come on. There we go. So, see, the trade said, and this is how they'll almost always read. It just said, it was just real simple. It's not even a big deal. Just a small, you know, little trade. It says, consider being long YMZ2 above 13005. So on this drawdown to this 12900 area, see, we weren't in that. By the grace of all this good, we avoided that, and we got triggered in on the way up. Okay, and this thing is still pushing higher. And on the beans, it was the same kind of a call or idea, was that you didn't want to be long until price made its way up above, what was the number? 67. Yep. Consider being long above 67.
67.
For a
67 up to 73.
So, again, 1467. So here it got triggered in, and then it just went on up. Now, those were both like kind of picture-perfect examples because there really was no drawdown to speak of in either of those trades. Is that normal? No. Most trades will have a drawdown, and you should, in most cases, when you put on a trade, and I know how it feels. You sit there and you watch a market for an hour, 2 hours, and then your setup unfolds. The one thing that you love, that you understand, that you know how to do, you put that trade on, and goodness gracious, the second you get filled, it goes three ticks against you. And maybe you're only using, you know, an 8-tick stop or a 6-tick stop. And, you know, you just got in the thing, and it's already gone three ticks against you. Well, I know how it feels. You know, you get the old belly flop, and everything starts to tighten up, and the pulse and the sweat and the vein in your forehead, all that stuff, you know. It will help you. And I'm just speaking to everyone here, just across the board, anyone that experiences this and has to deal with this on a daily basis. I know a lot of people have already gone through it, moved past it. But for some folks, if you go into the trade expecting a drawdown, then you're not surprised by it. It's not a shock to your system. It doesn't get you frazzled or freaked out. Now, every now and then, you'll catch that one where you get filled, and then it just goes and does whatever you thought it was going to do. Doesn't beat around the bush, doesn't, you know, cycle back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It just goes. And those are nice. But if you go into it expecting a drawdown, then this way, your expectations are met on almost every trade. You get what you were expecting. Okay? I'm not saying you expect to get stomped out, but you do expect there's going to be some size of a drawdown. And then as you come out of that drawdown, and you're happy and things are good. So it's just a little idea, just something. It's not really a mind trick. It's not trying to trick yourself into being okay with it. It's just being honest with yourself because you already know from experience that that's almost always what happens. So, okay. It's unrealistic for me to expect it to stop doing what it's always done and start doing what I want it to do. Why don't I recognize it for what it is, understand it for what it does, and then think and trade accordingly. And in doing so, I can rein in my emotions to a degree. So. let's see. What did Joseph say? Impossible that it never happens. Yeah, I guess so. All right, today's Wednesday. Tomorrow night's partners meeting. Mike's already covered that. 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll see all you guys there, especially all the new partners, guys. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. This will be your first partners meeting. So, you know, come with your questions, and we'll try to cover every single thing that we can. And if you're on the free trial and you want to be in the partners meeting, then, as Michael explained, all you got to do, send an email to support@cfrn.net or respond to the email that you already have in your inbox, and we'll get everything taken care of so that you are in the partners meeting tomorrow night. With that, we're going to pause for a brief station identification, and then we're going to go talk to our good friends, David Williams at pagetrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach. So don't go away. Don't touch that radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. Welcome to the show. And good morning, Robin. Is it a wonderful day in Las Vegas?
It's a wonderful day in Las Vegas.
All right.
I have to agree with her. We're both in Las Vegas, for those of you that don't know. And it is a wonderful day in Las Vegas. You're going to love it out here if you guys come out. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Dave. And Robin.
Good morning, Michael. And good morning, Dwayne. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning, David.
Thank you. Good morning, Robin. Thank you, Robin, also for the little things you've been sending, a few things that you sent to me, and I appreciate those.
you know, you're always on my mind, and I keep thinking if there's something there that you would like to do. I sent him a coupon for a discount on the racetrack because I figured he likes to ride those cars.
I do. I like to drive those cars. I'm not a big racetrack guy, but put a Mexican and a Mustang next to me at a stoplight, and there's a whole other side to me, just letting you know.
while you're in your Volt,
well,
you mean?
Yes, while I'm in the Volt. While I'm in the Volt. You laugh, but you'll see. It's a pretty sprightly little thing, and it's quiet.
Yeah, it is incredibly quiet.
If I may say so, if you'd like, I'll spend just a few moments telling you about some of my recent street little activities that have happened. I drive very sanely. I'm a very normal driver. I don't cut people off. I'm very conscious of who's around me, just like we all are. You know, most people drive pretty good. You can always tell when someone's, you know, angry or they're really not having a good day in the way they drive. And sometimes if you've ever been in a situation where you kind of had to make a move, but in doing so, you didn't really mean any harm, but you had to do it, and it looked, you know, it looked to somebody else exactly like it always looks to you when somebody does it to you, like that guy's just a complete jerk, and so on. And, you know, what do you do in that situation?
I always kind of wave and say, I'm sorry. It doesn't happen often because I consider myself a pretty good driver, but it does happen on occasion. And I do wave my hand and say, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had to make a left-hand turn. There were two lanes going left, and I was in the third lane and realized that was the street I had to make the left. So I waved very kindly to the guy next to me, and I pointed, can I go in front of you? Because we were right at the light. And he said, sure, go right ahead. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah, if you just drive normally, you're not going to run into too many problems. There's always some situation where somebody's, you know, their mood or something's happened or they just want to, they're just in a mood and, you know, it shows up in their driving and, you know, you just want to avoid those people, not get into a confrontation. When I was younger, if somebody made an aggressive move at me in traffic, if somebody did something that was aggressive, I would get aggressive and that, you know, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. And it, you know, everything inside of you doesn't want someone else to, you know, push you around or do this or do that. But very relatively quickly, I think for me and probably for most people, you realize some people never even feel like getting back at them. But you realize that's a bad road to go down. You're just, you know, reducing yourself to their level. and, you know, and then they're probably better at their level than you are coming down to their level. They do it better. So you're probably going to lose that fight because they live there. They live at that level. You may not. And you have to step down a few notches to get to that level, so to speak. And so you kind of quickly find out it's usually better just to let those people zip along, have a nice day, you know, see you on the flip-flop, whatever. however, having said that, I did receive a traffic violation, a real ticket, the other day.
Oh, no.
I know. I could not believe it, but I did. And the ticket was for, believe it or not, I was headed over to, out here in Las Vegas, we have the Venetian Hotel. And they have some nice restaurant that I, on the weekend, wanted to go have a nice little meal with. I was with somebody, and I was driving down a side street that has some decent traffic on it, apartments and whatnot. And a policeman pulled me over, and a motorcycle policeman, and wrote me a ticket for 30 miles an hour in a 25. And so I said to him, I said, really, that seems almost, with all due respect, I said, that seems almost not worth the trouble of writing that. And he says, we're trying to keep people conscious of the speed limits around here, and we do that by, you know, writing these tickets. And, you know, sign here, press hard, you're going through four copies, you know, or whatever. So I signed the ticket and, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Got to take care of, got to go take care of that ticket now. So out here in Las Vegas, we have, and I'm sure you do as well in wherever you live, or maybe you do, you have the attorneys that will take your tickets to court and have them reduced to parking violation and so on. One of the communities, or it's not Clark County, but it's the municipal area of Las Vegas, has now taken that away from the attorneys, because the attorneys can charge you a couple $100 to have the judge reduce the ticket down to nothing. And right now, what they're doing is they're making that negotiation with you right over the phone, which I think is very efficient. Even though you're cutting off some income to the attorneys, all this stuff doesn't have to go through court. Yeah, it doesn't have to go through court now. You just call in, say, I'd like to negotiate that, you know, down to a parking violation if I can, and certain ones they won't allow, certain ones they will. Certainly 5 miles over, you know, is not going to be too difficult. But that's a very efficient way of making sure that our courts aren't clogged up with a bunch of simple moving violations, and that they, you know, ultimately they want to get the money, they want to have people learn the lesson of not speeding and so on. So it's pretty efficient, and I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
Well, those
there.
Attorneys must be really ticked off.
Attorneys are probably angry, and an angry attorney, what's he going to do? He's going to sue you. No, but, you know, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but the state has streamlined that system. When I first came to Las Vegas many, many years ago, 33 years ago, the DMV, literally, you would step over sleeping people at the door of the DMV to get your driver's license. And later, when the guy came to you to, you know, give you your driving test, you would recognize him as the guy that was sleeping that you stepped over. That's your driving instructor. That's the guy that's going to approve you for driving on the street. Anyway, it was that bad. It was terrible. It was super long lines. It was just a ridiculous bureaucracy of biblical proportion. And they have really streamlined it. I really want to publicly say. It is fabulous.
It is fabulous. I mean, I literally got my new – I ordered vanity plates and picked up my vanity plates and was in and out of there in 8 minutes.
Yeah. No, you can't be beat now. They've got it down. So they did a good thing, and they're being more efficient, and that's what we want our government to be, is more efficient. Don't get me started. so we'll leave it at that. Anyway, so what I was going to say, though, is that in the Chevy Volt, because it has all of the torque available right away, it really does scoot right away from 0 to 30 or 0 to 40. It's very, very quick. It's surprising. And so if somebody is interested in scooting with you, if you happen to be at the light, you take just about everybody up to about 30, 35 miles an hour, which is, you know, that's the speed limit or whatever. So you do kind of have your fun if you want to have it, if the guy next to you wants to, you know, shoot his car off a little bit. And it's kind of fun because it spreads the word that a lowly little car like that kind of scoots. And they'll kind of scratch their head. He got out of the hole pretty quick there.
Mm-hmm.
What's it got, nitrous or something? No, it doesn't even have an engine. So you know, the word's getting out and all that. I don't want to tell you too much about my personal life because, you know, then it'll ruin the beautiful reputation that I've developed, that I'm just, you know, this wonderful, whatever my reputation is, but I'm dragging it down very quickly here by telling you how I do street racing. Or perhaps that's rising my reputation. I don't know. I'll let you be the judge of that. Do I have a reputation? That's a good question. Do I need a reputation? That's a better question. What I need is to get to the markets. I know. So how are you, Duane?
Good, good. Yeah, your street creds are good with me.
Oh, good. Okay. Got the good street cred. Any important news we have today that might have some effect on markets that you're aware of, Duane?
Yeah. They are attempting to put through a new measure that will no longer require voting on the debt ceiling. It will automatically rise when it needs to, and Congress would actually have to vote to keep it from rising.
They just want it to go higher and higher.
As opposed to what they do right now, which is vote to approve an increase in the spending limit. It would become a... It would basically be like a credit card that has no limit. And
right.
And in order to stop the spending, it would literally take an act of Congress.
Right.
And the congressman that sponsored it is, his name is McConnell. This morning, the U.S. Treasury outlined the so-called McConnell provision, which would change the debt ceiling into something, not into something that has to be raised, but something that has to be voted against. Under the proposal, the debt ceiling would automatically rise unless Congress voted against it. And when the president spoke this morning at the Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C., he took a firm stance saying that he would not be playing the game of negotiating the raising of the debt ceiling. He said a rise in the debt ceiling would have to be a part of a deal to avert the so-called fiscal cliff.
All right. Well, these are the smart people. These are the people who, they know what they're doing. So we might as well just listen to them and hope everything turns out okay. Because I guess they know best. Seems to me, though, that with the economy shrinking, the GDP going down, our government shouldn't be getting bigger. It should be getting smaller. Seems to me with the GDP going down, our debt shouldn't be getting bigger. Our debt should be getting smaller. And, you know, we've all talked about this before, and it's a tired subject. But if somebody were to just go through government, just finding all the ridiculous waste that goes on, there would be plenty of money to do whatever we wanted to do. Waste all by itself is so egregious in government that it could solve literally the entire problem that we have. It can't solve the problem of having an administration that wants to ever increase government. By the time this administration's done, the government will be 50% larger than it was when he came in. 50%. It will have grown. It's already grown by 30%. The government, it's the economy that's supposed to grow, not government. We can't get the economy to grow, but we can sure grow our government, and that's what we're seeing. More and more, bigger and bigger government, more programs. And you know, once the program starts, you can't shut it off. It's just nearly impossible to take away an entitlement from somebody, a program of some kind. We're still giving NPR, and I happen to really like NPR. Believe it or not, I really enjoy their station and the way they do things. I may not agree with their views in some cases, but I just enjoy the station. I really do.
I listen to
they
it
don't need,
a lot.
They don't. Yeah, I know you do. And I don't believe. Don't you like it? Isn't it neat?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cool. But they're in business. Why do they need $400 million a year given to them? That's just $400 million of wasted money. Their ship is already sailing.
Well,
that's
they're a nonprofit, and they don't have a traditional advertising model to support them. They are, along with government funding, they are supported primarily by the private sector, by private donations, foundations, endowments, And they do their annual fund drive every year where people can call in and commit, you know, whatever you want to monthly support for them, or you can make a one-time donation.
Yeah, but that's why, that doesn't explain why they need $400 million from other people, like taxpayers, who need to pay that in order to give them.
I'm not making a case for taxpayers funding them. I'm just simply addressing that they have a cost of doing business to produce those radio programs and to pay the staff, and they don't have a traditional advertising model to support their staff. So it either has to come in the form of a government endowment or a government grant, or it has to come from private citizens or corporations who make donations to them.
Right. As I understand it, and I don't have the exact figure, the money that they're getting is like is not even a quarter of what they totally take in. When I say that their ship is afloat, they're doing fine without the $400 million. If that got taken away, they're still very much in business. You can go on the internet and maybe investigate the numbers for them. But the $400, it's not like they take in $600 million and $400 million of it is the government. They're taking in a large sum of money, however they get it. And that's one of many, many, many types of government programs that add up to really big numbers, if you add them all up, that could easily, you know, the government always talks about over 10 years this and over 10 years of that. If you take this type of money over 10 years, it's big, and it adds up to a lot. There's a lot of waste. I hope at some point somebody looks at government waste and gets rid of it, because we never see that. We just don't see that happen. I don't know what it is about government, but it just never happens. So there you are. So nothing really big in the news today. If you want, Duane, we'll get right down to taking a look around at some of the markets.
Did you say nothing big in the news today?
I'm sorry?
Did you say nothing big in the news today?
Well, other than what you mentioned, I asked you if there was anything big in the news. And
I think that's – I mean, that's – we're talking about changing a fundamental change.
You're right. I agree that that's
business.
Big. There's no question.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the biggest news we've had in – I mean, that changes everything. That turns us into a country with no fiscal accountability. I mean, it literally takes an act of – if that goes through, if this McConnell provision goes through, it will take an act of Congress to stop the spending.
Yeah, that's just beyond belief.
Now it takes an act of Congress to spend. And we saw that with the negotiations over the debt ceiling last year. It got approved. Everything was fine. You know, we carried on. But if you take away that system of checks and balances, then
we're done.
It's a runaway train.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is headed for the cliff if that goes through.
Why do they want that? Because they want to be able to just keep spending without anyone being able to say. They're basically want to be in a position where the three levels of government really can't do anything, and like you said, it really would take an act of Congress to stop the spending. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. I think. If you want to know what the goal is for this administration's next 4 years in office, here's the opening gambit right here. Number one, you're not going to tell us this 4 years how we're going to spend money. We're going to spend it any way we want. And as much as we want. And he took a very firm stance this morning when he spoke to that businessman's group. He says, I'm done with this negotiation. You know, in other words, I got to come ask, you know, mom or dad or somebody every time I want to spend a few bucks. No way. I'm not doing that for another 4 years. I'm going to spend what I want when I want. So watch this very closely, guys. If this McConnell provision goes through, America is headed
isn't
for
Mitch
a much
McConnell a Republican?
Did I say his name was Mitch?
I don't know if it's Mitch. Maybe there's another one. And I apologize if that's the wrong one, but it's some other McConnell.
Let's see which McConnell it is. Anybody in the chat room know? Let's see. Senator
McConnell, my point was, I doubt it's a Republican. asking for that?
Boy, they say McConnell a million times, but they don't ever put it.
They never say his name. Okay, it wouldn't be Mitch.
Which McConnell is it, guys? Senator from Tennessee, John says.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't believe in this entire article they don't put his party affiliation or...
Well, it's fine, Dwayne. You don't have to...
No, go ahead. Carry on.
Worry about it. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, it should be interesting. You're right. I totally agree. That's huge. It's actually life-changing if they get to a point where they can spend as much as they want.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
Republican leader. Why would he be wanting that?
The Budget Control Act enacted in August of 2011 included a provision authored by Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell that provided for expedited votes in both houses of Congress on legislation to disapprove debt limit increases requested by the president. Congress could block an increase in the debt limit via enactment of the disapproval legislation. However, if disapproval legislation was not enacted, the requested debt limit increase took effect. The debt limit was increased three times pursuant to Senator McConnell's mechanism.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that myself. I'm not sure I understand.
How the McConnell provision works. A congressional debt limit disapproval process consists of the following steps. Once the debt subject to the statutory debt limit is within $100 billion of the limit, the president may request an increase in the debt limit by sending a written certification to Congress that the outstanding debt is within $100 billion of the debt limit and that further borrowing is needed to meet existing commitments. Congress has 15 days to deny the request. In both the House and the Senate, consideration of the joint resolution of disapproval is governed by expedited procedures. If both chambers pass the joint resolution of disapproval, it is sent to the president for veto or signature. If the president vetoes the resolution, then the joint resolution is returned to Congress. If the president's veto is overridden by Congress, which requires a two-thirds vote of each chamber, then the debt limit increase request is denied. So it has to go, for the president to be overridden, it has to go to Congress twice.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's very interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to keep an eye on that. I want to read into that a little bit more and understand where they're coming from and asking for that. It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
No, it
just
makes no
on
sense
first
at
blush.
All. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay, so listen, if you want, let's get into the markets. Let's take a look around, see what there is, what opportunities there might be. Starting with the S&P, let's get right on to the S&P here. So if you asked me about the S&P, I have a couple things that I think are important. Originally, when we had topped out at recently, a few days back, at the 1424, 1425 level, we had talked about on the program that we'd like to see the market get down and test 1402 to 1401. They did do that yesterday, and today they spiked below that, getting down to 1396, which is a level in our support and resistance panel, and they reversed off that, and they've had a very good bounce off that level. All of this, in our way of looking at it, is simply a test and a spike of a very important level, the 1402 level. 1402 is important for a number of reasons, but the main reason it's important is because especially starting next week, not just this week, but starting next week, if we were to break that level, the 1402 level, begin closing below, it leaves the market open for a much larger decline, and the retest that we've talked about last month that would potentially happen in December, and that's the retest of 1357. That's quite a decline from 1402 to 1357, but that's what it opens the door for. So that's why the market is testing, at least in our viewpoint, that's why the market's testing the 1402 level, and it has been a successful test. They've gotten down to 1396, but they quickly recovered, and it's very likely that we're going to close today and likely the week above 1402, which leaves the market in the stronger position. So that's the main thing that I really would like to point out today is that, you know, the market has done a very important thing this morning. This is no small thing. This is a very important thing by coming down and testing and trying to break that 02 and getting down to some other levels of importance, but quickly recovering, excuse me, and getting back above the 02 level. So that leaves us in a pretty good position. We'll talk about, obviously today is Wednesday, we have two more trading days left, a lot can happen, but I'd like to see the market close above the 02 level coming into next week. And I would also be able to trade if they break it later. I mentioned last month that if they get down and test in December the 1357 level, which is the natural level for December, they already did that in November. And so we've talked about it's likely that the bottom came 1 month early in November. And so the market is probably going to be relatively bullish from November forward. So we have quite a bit going on here. Most of it is bullish. Intraday, there's going to be the usual declines and whatnot that we can trade. But I think we're still bullish on the S&P based on what we're talking about here. The main thing, though, is that if they start to really do, if for whatever reason they break the 02 level, again, hourly or daily closes below, I think that's important. And I think you'd be wise to be looking for shorting opportunities if that happens during December. Not just tomorrow. So keep that in mind, and we'll update that as we as the days go by and so on, you know, with the market here. Other than that, I don't know if I have anything else to add really to the S&P right now. We do have the shorter term stuff, you know, the hourly and some other things that have some important indications. But really, just for today, they've done some pretty good action by testing that stuff down there, at least in our book. And we'll update that tomorrow if we have anything else to add to it. We do have a few things with some other markets. If you'd like, Dwayne, we'll switch over to them, unless you have anything you'd like to add on the S&P for on your behalf here.
No, on Sunday night we sent a tweet out that said we expect this week to be to trade within a pretty narrow range, with the exception of any comments that come out regarding the fiscal cliff, that there might be some spikes that take us in one direction or another. And so this was the range Sunday night when we put that little tweet out. And that was just an observation. That's what we thought the week might see. And we've wandered now right back into that area. So we've had movement. There's been talks about, well, everything we just talked about. And so we're now right back within a couple points of where we were when I made that comment on Sunday night. So we've had some action. I mean, we had a little bit of a move to the upside, and we had this big swoop to the downside. But it's kind of like a bluster, because now we're just right back where we were, sitting in that same spot. So, yeah, that's it. so far, that has panned out. That there have been spikes based on fiscal cliff talks, but at the end of the day, we go right back to the same spot. We got two more trading days left in the week.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on from the S&P over to the gold market. sorry about my throat today. We're looking at February gold right now. Yesterday, I mentioned that the next important bottom for gold would occur today, December 5th, that the market would want to go down and test 1687, that would be the level that they would want to touch into today, which is December 5th. Today, the market did go down. It got down to 1686. We were looking for 1687, so that completes that. A daily close today above 1686.87 will be the stronger position. This being the on-time day now for a bottom, we'd be looking to be long in gold from this point forward. So I like the idea of, if you're conservative, I like the idea of letting the market close today and possibly stepping in and having to get in at higher prices if they do bounce tomorrow. But if you're more aggressive, and even if you're not trading aggressively, at least short term, I like the idea of using the 1687, 1686 level as a no close below level, so that we get into a mindset that this is a level that we need to see it stay above. As long as it does, we want to be long. The longer you wait to get in, the more confirmation you'll be getting. It's possible that you will also be getting less potential gain by waiting longer as well. So keep that in mind. That may mean something to you, but it's a good thing for me because it's a great payoff. It's a great payoff to have more confirmation, be more certain, and make less money. To me, that's just a great deal. The less money doesn't sound so good, but the fact that you're going to make less money with more certainty is really good. To make any money with certainty is a good thing in the market, to be correct about it. So that's something that we've talked about this a million times on the radio, but that's something that's important to me, and it took me many, many years to be able to say that, to be able to come to that and say, that actually is how I roll. That's my thing. For me, it may be for you as well. But to get to that point took more than a decade of trading in the market and trying it other ways. It doesn't mean that you can't get in at very critical levels. Like, as an example, knowing the 1386.87 level, a person could very easily, and we may have, although we're already in gold, but a person could have been a buyer down there and taken advantage of the natural level for the date of December 5th and so on that we talked about yesterday. And that happens. Sometimes I'm able to get into very good trades right at those critical levels, and it still rings true to me as a trade that I can believe in and that I'm not being too aggressive on. But on other times, you don't get those. You don't get in on the edges, and you have to get in later. And that's its own challenge sometimes. But you do get the more certainty because you have the more confirmation. So consider that, you know, for those of you who are new and haven't heard that before, and even those of you who have, consider the idea, sit down for a minute and think about what we're really saying. If you are given the opportunity to make more, to have more certainty that you're going to make a lesser amount of money, it's almost like, what was that game show they used to have with the Three Doors?
Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal. Is that show still on? Could that still be on?
Yeah, it's still on, and the host is, I can't think of his name. But, yeah, it's on.
I can't believe it's still on.
I think it's in Las Vegas.
Is it really?
I think it's at the Flamingo, yeah.
My goodness, I cannot believe that show is still around. I mean, I remember seeing
Brady,
Let's Make a Deal.
Something Brady is the comedian that runs it.
Okay.
Wayne Brady.
I remember seeing that program more than 40 years ago.
And they still get dressed up.
Really? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's at the Flamingo.
Yeah, well, okay, so it's like Let's Make a Deal, because remember, on the program, you can give up certain things for other certainties, or you can give up some certainties to take a bigger chance. And they played those two things, if I'm remembering correctly, against each other. And so you either knew you had these two things over here, but you could take the chance for this door, or you could kind of let those things go and take the chance on this door and really get the big thing. Well, I'm the guy that has a few things over here and says, well, I like the certainty of that, and I'll take less but with more certainty. And that has worked very well for me. And I'll move on in a second here. I just want to say one more time, though, take a minute and sit down and think about what it means to you. If there's something in that is appealing to you and your trading, or if you haven't ever even considered it, consider the idea. Consider the importance of knowing for yourself which side you lean on and understanding maybe why and why is it good for you to do it one way as opposed to another and so on. It's good to know about yourself, because without knowing about yourself, you're going to go out and do a lot of things that you won't have a good explanation for. And you might believe you do, you might think you do, but you've never really investigated. And a lot of things in life exist because of non-investigation. A lot of problems we run into because of non-investigation, not taking a look, not turning the arrow of attention around, you know, we know it all because we can think we know it all. And it's not that way. You can actually spend some time and go deeper into yourself than you might believe because we're so used to thinking about ourselves. That's not the same. That's not the same as taking a look at yourself. That's different. Thinking about yourself is different than actually looking. And looking is where you learn. Thinking about is you just repeating old conditioned memories and so on over and over again and just using up your energy to vibrate in thought. But looking is a different thing altogether. And anyone can do it. It's not some mystical state. We're not trying to reach some mystical state. We're trying to reach our actual state. How's that? There's nothing mystical about that. It might appear mystical when you, if you get really lost in thought to get out of it. But thinking about yourself and your trading and other issues in life and looking at your actual self are two different things. And so take a minute with the idea and see if maybe you sit on one side or the other of that. You either like the aggressive side, and I work with traders who do trade on the aggressive side, and I've given them my best in telling them this stuff, and I have to work on traders with the other side, everyone in between. Whoever you are on that scale, it's fine. Just, it's a good idea to know if you really know why you're doing that, because you might be doing that just because you think you should for some silly reason. And therefore, it doesn't work out so good. It tends to work out better if you know why you're doing something from yourself, not from something you picked up as an idea. And, you know, like as an example for me, for a number of years, I had somehow gotten into me that I'm supposed to be, no one actually told me this, but I told myself this, that I'm supposed to be a guy that takes big risks. And I'm supposed to be a big risk guy in the market. I don't know where I picked it up. I saw something, read something, something filtered through, and it somehow settled in my psyche without my knowledge or perhaps permission. It settled in there, and as we've talked about on the program before, once these ideas are accepted as truths, they settle in, and they have their own life at that point. And having their own life means that they operate without you having to give them knowing energy, conscious energy. You don't have to do anything. They just operate. So that idea was operating in me for quite some time, and it was dictating to me how I should trade and that it was good to be that way. I had never investigated myself to see where that came from. And you can take that same idea and apply it in a million areas of your life and see that you act around other people a certain way, you interact with authority in a certain way, you cower down under certain situations, you get all pious in other situations, you blame people, all these different things, and we identify with those states and we believe they're us, but in most cases, they're actually pickups. We've picked these things up over our life, and we didn't know that we picked them up, and they settled in, and they operate on their own. They don't require your permission to operate, do they? They just operate. And by simply watching these things in motion, it breaks their hold very effectively, much more effectively than you going out and trying to break the hold, like being the man. Now I'm supposed to be the man and break this terrible thing that's on hold of me. That's another idea you've got. You're supposed to be the big hot, you know, the big man, the big man on campus, and you're going to write the check that saves everyone or whatever. And so it's just to see these things, that's all. And once you've seen them, they start to lose their hold. And when they start to lose their hold, real intelligence can start to operate in you. And it's not someone else's intelligence. It's your real intelligence. It's intelligence that you don't know about now because you're busy fulfilling all these other truths and whatnot that have accumulated, and so am I. So it's a good idea, and I've talked about this before, to sit down, take some time, and let your mind show you what it's all about. Think of it as an interesting observation to watch this whole phenomena called you, rather than just getting behind the energy of it and feeling the vibration of talking to people and whatnot. Sit down and spend some time. Again, it's not to find some new mystical state. It's to find your actual state, the state of your actual self, not as you think of yourself, not in thought, but who you actually are. Are you really actually afraid in this situation, but you acted differently? You know, all this other stuff. It all comes up. You'll see. It's not to psychoanalyze yourself. It's not to do anything with it. It's to see it. That's the magic. The magic occurs in the seeing. It's not what you do with it afterwards. That's now you're into psychology and psychiatry. As soon as you do something with it, now you're moving into here's how we fix or here's what we do. And not to put anybody down that does that, but in the example that I'm giving, it's the mere seeing of it that we want. We do not want to do anything with it. We don't want to have another reaction because that's another piece from the past. Your reaction to seeing that you're really a scared little person in a situation, your reaction to that comes, well, then I should do this. And then that's a whole new thing. No, just see the fact. That's all we're trying to do. And that'll help you. It really will. And I it's made a tremendous difference to me in a number of areas in my life, both personal and in the markets. And one of the things I found out, and I'll move on now, one of the things that I found out for myself, for sure, no one can take it from me and no one can give it to me. What I found out for sure is that my mind and other people's minds as well has a tendency to pick up things along the way. And if we accept them, they go to work and they start operating as truths. And once they do that, you're subject to whatever that quote-unquote truth is, and it's going to operate in your life. You know, I gave this example a million years ago on the program. I'm just going to give it one more time. Picture a bunch of people walking on the beach, and they have some ropes attached around their waist, and at the end of the rope is what looks like a kitchen strainer. You know, you've seen the strainer in a kitchen where you thing has holes in it, you can pour pasta in it, and the water all drains out, but the pasta gets in there. Well, each person has a different sized strainer, and it has different size holes in it. Some of them are big, some of them are small, and as they're moving through life, they're pulling, the sand is life. So as the person's walking through the sand, that strainer's back there, and sand is moving through that strainer. And according to each individual's strainer, it has different size holes. Some things get through really easily, and other things start to accumulate because they can't get through the hole. And before you know it, after you've lived life for a while, a whole bunch has passed through, but a whole bunch has also got stuck in your strainer. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. Things get stuck. We accept them, and they get stuck in the strainer. And before you know it, it's heavy. It's hard to move through life because you're pulling a whole bunch of stuff with you, a whole bunch of wrong ideas and whatnot. And that's why I really suggest that you take some time. Even if it's just 10 minutes a day, you'll be better off for that than you will not doing it at all. So consider that. And consider the idea we're talking about. We're on gold here. Again, we're talking about today being a bottom, daily close above 1687. We'll keep that intact. I like the idea of buying gold for a multi-day advance off these lows. So we'll move on from there. We do have, we did have a roadmap in gold that about 96% of it completed, and they're selling off, but I still believe that gold will likely go back up and retest important levels, especially if they take care of this level, the level that they're testing right now. So I like the idea of buying it, and then we'll talk about this as we continue. And let me give you the levels because this is something we talked about on the program. The forecast originally was for the market to run from 1680 up to 1760, and they got up to 1756 or something on the way up, and we got out at 1750. Well, if they hold these levels now, then I expect a further advance into January with a test of 1761 or possibly substantially higher. It all kind of depends, this is why this is critical now, on what they do right now. So right now we've got a daily bottom. December 5th, we talked about yesterday. This is a critical juncture in my book for the gold market for the potential of a start for a move back up to 1761 and potentially higher into January. So it's a big picture thing, and you could start it with the small picture on the daily here. Okay, so we'll move past that. Dwayne, I don't have anything I can add to Facebook. You know, they're kind of moving sideways here. Any comment you want to talk about on Facebook or any news or anything?
They're going to join the NASDAQ 100 on December 12th.
Okay, that's big. In other words, what are they trading on now?
New York.
New York, okay. They're moving into the tech. that'll be interesting to see if that changes any of their behavior, how they fit into the tech profile
COO,
over there.
And their COO, Sheryl Sandberg, gave away $11 million in stock, and it's not been disclosed who she gave it to. It's suspected that she made a charitable donation, because if it had gone to friends or family, that would be disclosed in the SEC documents, but it's not. So
okay.
She's not making it public at this point who she gave the shares to. So that's really about the only Facebook news I've seen today.
Okay. we talk about the Treasury bonds a lot. Keep an eye, if you are a Treasury bond trader, December 6th, tomorrow, would normally mark a top in this, and we'll talk about that as we go into tomorrow. Rather than do anything with it, the bond market's at a nice level here. We had a few weeks back, we had talked about the weekly top of November 12th, the week of November 12th, which was very important in a number of markets that we forecast. One of them was for the bottom in the euro, the top in the bonds, and so on. And so the market did have a nice decline and is now, you know, not too far away from that top. So tomorrow's daily top in the bond market is very important, again, because we want to see how they play that out with regard to honoring or how well they can advance back up into this time frame. So we'll talk about that. I don't have any specific trades for it, but we will perhaps after tomorrow for the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond market. A lot of people trade in the 10, perfectly good market, but we'll watch that. Let's see. Yesterday, the euro traded. We talked about the euro. We completed the recent roadmap in the euro. Yesterday closed very, very close to the number we talked about, which was 130.98. They closed at 131, two ticks above that. And then today they spiked even higher. But there normally would be a reaction from this level, and it's likely today is going to close below the level of 130.98. That puts the market in a weaker position if they do. They're trading right now at 130.85. We don't have any roadmap, any further roadmap on that right now. The other one's completed, and we'll keep an eye on this and talk about this as we get into next week. Let's see. There might be something. No, we'll save that. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll save that for tomorrow. Let's see if anything else on my side here. Crude oil, quiet. They're pulled back a little bit from a recent high that they made. This market has the potential for some very decent-sized volatility coming. I would keep an eye on this. I like the crude oil market above roughly the $85 range. We're trading at $88.16. I know that's quite a bit below us, but that's okay. That means they're quite a bit above an important level, and I'd like to see them continue to trade that way. If we were going to trade, I mean, you have to go out now to February or March crude, or is it January? What are we in right now? Dwayne, do you know?
I'm sorry.
the contract that's trading here.
For crude?
I'm looking. Yeah.
GCLF.
Is it January? Okay. So January. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk about that more. It's very quiet. Last couple of days here has been very quiet in the crude market. And let's see, we do also have, the Australian dollar has been very quiet as well. We've mentioned this over the last couple of days. We want to be very cognizant of the level almost that they're touching right now. They have had no problem, you know, this number that we've talked about, which is about 104.55 or so. I don't have the exact number, but it's right in that area, is very important. They continue to test it quietly. They seem to be comfortable up here. If you are going to be shorting this or doing anything here, you have to use, I would say, at the very highest, 140.85 to protect a short position. If they do break out on the upside, we are going to see substantially higher prices, I believe.
Do you mean 104.85?
Yeah, 104.85. What did I say?
140.85.
Oh, sorry, 104.85.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
They would... Yeah, they would move substantially higher if they get out from here. So they're sitting very quietly and very comfortably at a really important point on the upside here. And let's see. I think there's on the weekly chart for Tesla, no big deal, but we would expect some decline, some further decline in Tesla here. But we're not doing anything with that. See if there's anything else that's important that you might want to take a look at. The dollar, of course, is the opposite pretty much of our euro. So you'd be looking for the dollar to firm up, the euro potentially to go down a bit from here. I don't have any specific real trades for it, but just a general outlook on it. And let's see here. Give me a moment. On this page on my computer, I don't bring it up very often, and on CQG, it takes a little bit longer if you don't bring up something for a while. let's move through here. Cocoa had a nice decline here. Nothing to add to that. Groupon continues. They're going sideways to lower here. We had something of importance. You know, Duane, we had both been talking about corn for some time, and I don't have any new information or anything else to give out on corn right now. They're in the middle of – they're kind of in a dead zone, so to speak, and we're leaving them alone until we get some clearer indication. This implies something much larger at work that's in preparation. That's a good way of putting it, something that's in preparation. Let's go to the natural gas. Let's move over to this. We told radio people yesterday, and many of our some of the people who are a little bit more in tune with some of these other markets that can be very good to trade about the bottom in the natural gas market, and they've tested in today. Natural gas has a big move up. Bert knows, I don't know if Bert's around right now, but he knows some of the people that we talked about this with, and I'm sure they're having a very good day because natural gas is up real big today off of that bottom. The bottom we're talking about is the bottom on December 3rd. So this is a nice example. Today they spiked slightly below the low on December 3rd, which was 353.9. They got down to 352.3, very small spike below it, and then they reversed very powerfully up, and this fulfills our expectation for a multi-day, what we talked about the other day, multi-day advance off of this bottom. If you take a look at natural gas, you'll see this market really moves. If you can, if you have some amount of precision in your trading, this market can be very good for you. And even if you don't, as long as you're using stops and protecting yourself and not getting carried away, this market can pay or produce fast moves in a short period of time. It's got a lot of volatility, explosive volatility. So keep that in mind. Check out the natural gas market. It's not bad. Let's see here. I think that may be everything we have because we had quite a bit. Let's see. Oh, SodaStream. We talked about SodaStream yesterday. What did we did we come to any conclusions about this, Duane, on SodaStream? Was there anything? I don't remember if we had anything on this market or not.
Let me see. No, there was just positive news. It seems to be everybody's darling. And,
okay.
Let's see. We closed pretty bullish yesterday. Now today, today's an today's going to be an outside day. Now that's if we unless this thing turns around and rallies, guys, because we've got a market, an overall market that's traded much higher. If this were to close where it is right now, that is that's very bearish for this stock.
Mm-hmm. We had talked yesterday, and now I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing about this stock having a weekly top due on the week of December 10th. So I knew there was something with it. And so maybe today's action is beginning to belie that outlook that it may have put in the top 1 week early. I would give it some time. I would definitely give it some time before getting too excited about it. But the on-time week is the week of December 10th, and they're beginning – the very, very earliest sign of potential turn here for this stock. We don't trade in this. I know there's some people that are interested in it. And, if a person's long, they would want to potentially protect themselves. This is one of the things where you could talk to Bert Schlichter. And if you don't know about it, learn about selling covered calls, where covered meaning that you already own the underlying stock. And then if there is a turn that's coming, instead of getting out of shares, you sell call premium. That allows you to take in some money from the market moving down, but you still own all of the shares. So you, in a way, you're kind of hedged, but you get to make some money from one side of that hedge. So one side of your trade, the stocks are going against you because the market's going down from the weekly top, but another side, which are the options, are going for you, and that helps you maintain a better income stream from the stock, even though it's declining. That's something for you to take a look at. You can ask Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading about that, and he'll show you that strategy. We do it all the time. We write options on practically every stock we have, if not all of them. I'm not sure, you know, that we have a lot, but we write options on, do a lot of covered calls, lots and lots, thousands and thousands of them. So that's a strategy that does work if you have a longer-term perspective and think the market's really going to go somewhere further and you just want to stay with it and not try to get too cute by getting in and out with the shares, then you just hold your original position with the outlook that your higher prices are coming, but they're going to have their usual reactions along the way. And so those usual reactions, if you have any precision in the market, you can, even if you don't have a lot of precision, you can do a pretty good job because options are somewhat forgiving by doing a covered call strategy. So you might want to ask Bert about that. I'll give his number out here, 866-928-3310. He's Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading.
And it's had a very strong move the last 3 days. This could be just profit-taking, too.
Yeah,
it's had three days of very solid up moves. So a lot of times when you have that consistently, after a couple of days, you're going to have people taking profits.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And with the weekly top that they're putting in, though, next week, I would expect, you know, sideways to lower for several weeks. It would be bigger than this, but we're 1 week early right now. So, you know, yes, you're definitely right. It could be a minor glitch on the way up to higher prices next week. And, you know, we can take a better, closer look at that stock. But, you know, that's one of the indications. It's one of many indications in that stock. Mm-hmm. It really did have a beautiful move up. And I don't know, did you say you were in that or no? Were you thinking
No, I've
about
just
that
been
or?
Watching it very closely and reading the news on it.
Okay.
And seeing what the comparison is to Coke and Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And if it's eating into their market yet, it's not. And but it's everybody's liking it. And it's, and I don't know if you've heard the advertisement. I mean, it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in Target and it's in every store out there now. So they're doing a big Christmas push. So that was my intrigue about it because of, you know, what kind of sales would it have for Christmas? And I think it'll have a huge, huge sales for Christmas.
It'll be interesting. Christmas is almost on us here. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what kind of Christmas we have, what the retailers show. Hopefully we'll have a good one, and that'll be a nice lead into next year. I don't know what the economists are looking for next year. I've basically heard that because companies are afraid of the tax issue and many of these other things, that they're preparing and sort of getting themselves ready. They're not really aggressively going out and trying to grow their business right now. They're trying to withhold the onslaught against them from this administration. Even though the president has come out and said, I'm not, you know, taxing the rich and whatnot because I'm trying to punish success, but for revenues. But, you know, he's been going on about doing that for a long time, and getting all of that money is a six-day deal that runs the government for 6 days. So he has something going on in him about doing that. It satisfies the left. It does. It has some deeper meaning because in practical terms, it has practically no meaning. It really does. It's just we've got so many bigger problems that could be solved in much better ways than that one. I mean, whatever our interest rate issue is, you know, just remember this. Interest rates are really low right now. They're extremely historically low. And we're spending over $10 billion a week on interest. That's we being the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that number is going to be if interest rates go back up to 7 or 8 or 9%? And interest rates will go back to those numbers. That's going to blow these numbers, and by that time we'll be at, you know, we'll have even borrowed more money and more money and more money. So God only knows what is going to happen. How, you know, I just don't want to see the house of cards come I don't want to. I don't want to be helping build the house of cards, let alone see it, you know, see it coming down. Anyway, you know, you do the best you can with the situations that we're all in.
Exactly.
You have to work around it. There's nothing you can do about it. But sitting on the sidelines, you wonder what happens to these people, how they got into these positions in life where they, you know, the president, the administration goes up and talks about debt and how important it is to, you know, cut it, but all they do with their actions is increase it. And if they had their own way and had no resistance, like this bill that Dwayne had brought up earlier, if that bill gets passed, then we're going to all be in a position where essentially the government can continue to ratchet up and spend more and more, borrow more and more. And I don't know if we all get it or not, but the government, we have to pay that off, all of us, individually. And that number is going to get higher and higher. And any success you have in life, they're going to want to take more and more of that to pay off the ever-increasing growth of government and entitlement programs. And you're not going to be able to shut those entitlement programs off. You see what happens when you try to. Go take a look at Greece and Spain. That's what happens. People go running in the streets and fires get started and pigs are running and, you know, all that stuff. So it seems like someone's going to have to take a little bit of a hit sooner rather than later, because later it's going to be such a big one that it could really destroy the economy completely. I hope that's not the case, but I don't know where they're headed. I'll shut up about it. I just want to say, I'd love to sit the president down and say, when is it too much? What's the number? Because you're nowhere near it now, obviously. He's nowhere near it now. What number would make you say, okay, that's enough. We've spent enough.
Exactly.
We've increased government. What is that number? Or do you even know the number?
He's so disconnected from the number.
Yes.
It feels like he's so disconnected from it that it's not my number. It's, you know, the rest of the world's number, so I won't worry about it.
That's a good observation. I think that's very true. I think in the bigger picture, he just wants to get done what he wants to get done, and money is just a way to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. No, oh yeah, you know, I mean, if you come in with the attitude, you know, that you're going to be gone in 4 years and you just do whatever you have to do and just spend while you're there and just, you know, feel like you've done something by spending, you know, who cares what you leave back? But, you know, this communication between the two parties is has me really ill. It really just... I want them all to leave. I want them all to take a vacation, never come back, and put people in there that know nothing so that they're forced to work together. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want for my new year.
Yeah. The war on poverty, I've got bad news. Poverty is winning, and it's going to continue to win. More people are falling out of the middle class because of the whole business of it is causing grief. So we're just going to have to move on and take care of our individual situations as best as we can. But looking at it from a distance, you really have to scratch your head and wonder what these people are thinking and when would it be enough and all that. So
It's true.
There you are. Well, Dwayne, I think that's everything we have for today. It's gotten kind of quiet here on the market. Just drifting about.
I do want to remind people we have a webinar this weekend. If you're planning on attending, I do have a couple people that are in there. It's going to be a small group, which is great because we end up talking about other things as well. We kind of get off the subject and expand upon things if people ask for it. So definitely join us. You can sign up on the robindane.com website on the right side there. It's on Saturday at 11 o'clock Eastern Time and 8 o'clock Pacific Time, and it goes for about an hour. It's creating a powerful trader identity, and your identity is something that's very, very critical. In fact, David, you were talking a little bit about it before, about, you know, if you take on something of who you believe you are, and you get it locked in, it can become part of your identity. It's very true. And so there are items or things as you trade that you can build up that you don't want, that you can shift and modify by changing your identity. And your identity is changeable. I always use the example of Michael Jackson because, I mean, I thought he was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant entertainer. But he was in what they call an identity crisis. I mean, he could not find himself and who he was. And so he was constantly reinventing himself. Or, and a lot of performers do that to keep fresh. They reinvent themselves and their identity. Madonna's one of them. She reinvents herself on occasion, or as she has through her throughout her whole career. But as a trader, you can pick up these little tiny habits that work against you as you trade. And this one exercise that we teach on Saturday is very, very powerful. It's a powerful exercise that starts to shift some of these bad habits. So I really encourage you to invest in yourself. I made it really affordable. It may not be that way next year. I'm changing a whole bunch of things next year. I'm adding a whole bunch of new webinars. And I really believe that this is a great opportunity for you to get introduced to some of my style as well as help yourself in your trading and start the new year with a really good, fresh, new trader's identity. So, Dwayne, do you have that link?
I just put it in the chat room.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So sign up for that link. Now, here's the deal. Make sure that you stay on the link after you register so that it will take you to the page where you have to pay for it, which is $25. Make sure you do that piece because if you don't do that piece, you cannot attend. And once you do that piece, then I will send you a link to enter the webinar on Saturday morning. So we hope to have you there. And again, if there's one person, two people signed up, I'm doing it because I love to have it with small groups because we get into some really, really other topics and challenges that traders may have. So you could have a really good opportunity here too.
Robin, let me ask you a question. Maybe this will help people to think about it. What's a typical thing that a person asks of you who would come to a seminar? What would he say? He would say, I'm having an issue with what? What's common? What's a common issue?
I mean, as what we cover in identity?
Well, what you would answer with identity. Somebody comes to you with a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say...
A little bit, not to give anything away too much, but maybe they would want to know.
No. Let's say it's a good point. Let's say a trader is rushing into a trade. They have their setup. They have their criteria for their setup. And they have, and it starts to happen. And they see things moving, but not all the criteria has been met yet, and they rush into that trade. So in that instance, that trader has anxiety as part of their issue. And maybe that's what they're doing on a regular basis. They're anxious on the trade, and they're entering too soon. Well, when you enter too soon, then a lot of things can happen. Maybe it can go against you too much, and then you have to get out. The trade doesn't work like it's supposed to work. So one of the issues that trader is dealing with is anxiousness or rushing into the trade. So when you go through identity, what you would shift is the opposite of that. So if you're anxious, what's the opposite of anxious? Anxious would be patience. So we want to instill in that trader now patience. And so doing the exercise would instill patience, more patience to hold on to the idea, wait for the criteria to be met, and then enter the trade. So anytime you have an emotional challenge with your trading, what identity does or the exercise does is reverse. It begins to reverse those kind of things. So anxiety would be patience. If you're hesitant, then maybe you want to have strength or confidence. So that's something, again, the reverse. So we take the weaknesses and we reverse them.
Okay, very good.
And
that's great. Yeah, no, and it is fun. It works, and it's probably fun to finally address some of these things that might have just been sitting stagnant, waiting to be addressed.
Yeah, it's nice to have a small, little, tiny exercise like that that you can make a major change like that. And not only does it affect your trading, it also spills over into your life. So a lot of traders that have some of these qualities as they trade, like being anxious, maybe that's the guy who gets into the car and has road rage. You know, that mm-hmm. that being, you know, having to get there and having to get things to happen quicker, having a new identity causes them now to slow down a little bit where they need to. And yet, you want to keep the things that do help you. A lot of times, you know, these A-type personalities that I deal with, not everybody's an A-type personality, but a good portion of them are. A-type personalities have some really good qualities to that A-type personality, but that then there are other parts of the A-type personality that you have to learn to manage.
Right.
So I'm really big on not really changing anybody, but I'm really big on learning who you are, which is what you were talking about before, and learning to manage those parts of yourself that affect your trading. That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the A-type personality, that's the people who are real in your face and running around and getting things done. And
yeah, gotta be yesterday. You know, they can be perfectionists. They can fold and line up their underwear. And their mind goes very, very quickly. A-type personalities' minds move on hyperdrive. You know, mm-hmm. And when your mind moves on hyperdrive, sometimes you don't take time to smell the roses mm-hmm. and slow down. And so slowing down and enjoying what you're going through is very, very important. And slowing down and being in the moment, absolutely in the moment, instead of being on to the next thing or the next word or the next thought, just being right in the moment, dead smack in the moment in the market is very important. Mm-hmm. So little bit of slow down can make a big difference in your trading decisions.
Mm-hmm. The type of personality that gets used to telling others, you know, like a person in business telling other people what to do, you have to, and these go for everybody, you have to in order to trade well, you have to learn to allow the market to tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of you telling others what to do, trading successfully, one way you could put it is that you've learned how to follow what the market tells you what to do rather than trying to dictate to the market what to do.
Yeah.
Because you might have businesses where you are dictating to other people, go do this, go get me that, you know, and so on. But you have to learn to let the market tell you what to do, and you might not be comfortable for some period of time with that idea that other forces dictate to you and tell you what to do.
Right.
But you can learn from those forces, and you end up, you know, better for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, well, good, Robin. I wish you the best on that. Dwayne, I think that's all we have for today, and the market's real quiet here. We'll come back tomorrow with you, check in on everything. Thanks for having me on.
There's a question, David, on Apple. And, guys, if there's any other questions that I missed, just type them in again. The big news on Apple today is the imminent death cross that we've talked about and written about. You can go Google that, and if you Google death cross, every headline that comes up today is about Apple. And all that means is just the 50-period moving average on a daily chart is about to cross over the 200. When it goes the other way, they call it a golden cross. This way, they call it the death cross. Now, interestingly, and I noticed this when we had the soda chart up, this is called coming back from the brink of death right here. See how mm-hmm. this, the 50s, it was about to do the death cross, and mm-hmm. then they applied CPR, something. They got the paddles, code blue.
Or carbonation.
Clear. Somebody said clear, and this thing got jump-started. But this right here, this pattern, this bearish engulfing pattern right here, this is pretty ominous. Now, so what's ominous? Well, if it knocked us all the way back down to the 50, in the grand scheme of things, that's not so bad. It's a $42 stock that knocks it back to 36. And there's this, look at this line right across here. That would be a perfect place to find support. So if that happens, I mean, if you're a long-term investor in this, you don't want to see that, but it's not the end of the world. The product fundamentally seems to have acceptance and all of that. So I'm just pointing out, this is what a death cross can look like if it's saved by the bell. And then, of course, Apple, because everybody loves to talk about Apple, they're talking. And see, it's still a couple days away from, even if we continue down, it's going to be a couple more days probably before it happens. Now, this is a big down day, and some of the, they're raising margins on Apple. I just saw this morning one of the firms, I think they raised margin to 60%. And that's kind of unusual when they single out an individual stock. Now, we've seen margins raised on gold and other things when the markets got really volatile. But to see a stock singled out, it's not that common. So I don't know what's in store. Everybody loves Apple, and it was a real darling up here at 700. And if you liked it at 700, I mean, has the company changed fundamentally? There are some who would say, yes, it has. And so I think people will continue to use their products and enjoy their products for many years to come. But to Jerry's question for you, David, do you think that Apple is going to test the 505 level again? That would be this down here.
505. Well, a month back or so, on my notes on this chart, we had talked about the month of December being a bottom for Apple. And now, you know, it's apparently so far the month of November is the one that made the low. I don't have a forecast right now for them to retest. We're trading at 547. I don't have a forecast for them to retest that bottom. But I would, if you'd like, I'd try to put something together between now and tomorrow and see if there's something useful I can give to people. I'm not I would rather give you something a little bit more involved than just a monthly bottom. But that's what we have right now, which was that December would normally mark the bottom for Apple. And I would only temper that with, you know, if we were to go substantially lower, I mean, I really am not expecting, I know there's a death cross, and I'm aware that that, you know, is there's some real, there are people that are very valid looking at that as a potential signal. But for me, without really putting that into play, I would be looking for December to make a bottom, if it's not already in Apple, and then a multi-month advance. And that bottom would likely be at that 505 or roughly in that area. This is a general outlook. It's not a specific forecast, except that I believe that we're very close to completing a monthly bottom if we haven't already in this. So I guess in the bigger picture, I'm really not looking for the death cross to be validated by the movement of the market. It might be valid on the chart, you know, in terms of the formation. But I'm not sure that I'm ready to believe that we have the bigger wipeout type of move. Death cross sounds pretty bad. It sounds like that would be something that sends prices dramatically lower. And just as I'm sitting and looking at it right now, and
Paul
with the
commented
eye
that he thinks it'll cross. He said he thought it would cross tomorrow. Now he says Friday. And so that's what I was saying, is if it continues down, then it should take probably a couple days for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And Iris just commented that Google looks very similar.
Take a quick look at that.
Let's have a look at Google. Well, Google's got a long way before you get a death cross. But it is definitely off the highs. If that's the part you're referring to, Iris, then yes, it is. Except they've just come off a pretty good little rally here. Apple, on the other hand, go back to them real quick. Well, they actually came off a pretty good rally too. Yeah, you're right. There's certainly some similarities in those two charts. And Apple's still falling down 547. Volume is 25 million shares today. Yeah. And it looks like average daily volume is, you know, 15 to 20 is average. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's down on substantially higher volume, but it is down. Here's a day right here where it traded 40 million shares, and that was on a day that it gapped up and closed higher, and that was really the beginning of this rally coming off this bottom down here. See those wick guys down here? You always hear me talk about the wicks. That's just a beautiful example. That right there, that is as important a signal after a downtrend as is this signal right here after an uptrend. Okay. It's not magical or mystical or any of that. Candlesticks are just a graphical representation of investor sentiment. And so it's been around for a really long time. It's not the latest thing somebody cooked up. It's grounded in, I don't even know so much about science, but it just, it helps you to understand what investors are not only thinking, but what they're doing. Investors slash traders. So, Jerry, that's the best we got on Apple. I don't have any specific numbers or targets on it myself. You're talking about this little gap right here, Jerry, that before it goes lower, it's got to close that gap. Well, if it's going lower, then, yeah, closing that gap will be part of the action. Now, down here on... we're on soda. Okay, let me go back.
Yeah, you were showing soda there.
Let me go back to Apple, because I guess that's the one you're talking about. Let's go back. See, on the MACD down here, for those of you that use a MACD, notice when we got this, you know, bearish cross up here, you can see that took us down. And now that is about to happen along with the potential, make sure this is Apple, with the potential death cross, as they call it. And that sounds very ominous. And if you go out to CFRN, just Google death cross CFRN, it'll actually bring up this article, The Golden Cross, that I wrote back in February. But I go over the death cross as well, the evil twin of the Golden Cross. And I get into some of the statistics about how many times it plays out. And it's kind of surprising that they put as much stock in it as they do, because historically, looking at the numbers, it's really not that meaningful over the long haul and the big picture. Anyway, was there any other questions from anybody? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to reiterate, for whatever reason, I just want to say on Apple, I'm not at all worried right now about a crash in Apple. I'm looking for a December bottom. It may have already occurred 1 month early, but worst case, I'm looking for a December bottom in this market, and then a multi-month advance. So that's... you know, that's my overall look on it as a general outlook. In spite of the death cross, I don't actually see, and if I did see something that tied in with the death cross, I'd be very happy to tell you it sure looks like that is going in that direction. I don't see that right now, and I would probably be interested later in the month of December in being a buyer. So
Apple,
I like the idea.
I like the idea of being a buyer. Well, the thing is, I was going to say, is just that Apple has a number of products. And this last product, the iPad Mini, that thing is really gaining traction. And a lot of the important tech people who write blogs that are followed, Gruber and just a handful of other guys, they've all given it very good reviews. And so sales for that thing this Christmas, it's you kind of get everything you got in the iPad 2. It's just a smaller footprint. You don't have the Retina display, but quite frankly, I don't see that much difference. And you're getting it for a substantially lower price. I think the price on the iPad Mini, you can get one for like $350. That's probably going to be one of the biggest sellers, I think, this Christmas.
Sure.
And aside from all the other products, if I remember the article I read yesterday, iPhone sales alone, just the phone, the iPhone, not the iPad or anything else, or the iTunes, their revenue this year from iPhone sales is substantially larger than Microsoft's total revenue for this year.
Wow.
So just
huge.
just one slice of the apple has trumped Google.
Or Microsoft.
I mean Microsoft, yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, Apple's revenues trump Google and Microsoft combined overall.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. It's and there was a new guy. There was some news on one of the new guys. Let's see. We should probably be able to find that pretty easily right here. Apple exec dumps shares. I think this just happened today. Yeah, right here. Recently appointed Apple hardware chief Dan Riccio sold off nearly $11 million in company stock this week. The sale took place yesterday, and today it was detailed in a regulatory filing. 19,726 shares with another 1,000 given away as a charitable donation. All told, the value of the shares that were sold tallied up to a little more than $10.73 million. To put things in perspective, he is Apple's Senior Vice President of Mac Software Engineering, given 75,000 shares of company stock as part of promotions in September, worth a little more than $50 million at the time. You know, he's not the only one. There was another guy. Another exec that dumped quite a bit this week. Is this the same guy here? Because when Forstall left, the guy I was reading about... Well, anyway, you guys can Google it up. But is there any questions that I missed, guys? All right, I guess, David, you're off the hook. You can go.
All right. Okay, well, listen, it's been a pleasure. Robin, do you have any little quotes for us so we can...
Yes, I have one here. To be born free is an accident. To live free, a responsibility. To die free, an obligation. Ms. Hubbard Davis. And the price of greatness is responsibility. Winston Churchill.
Very good. I like both of those. Well, Duane, thank you for having me on. Thank you for the questions. I hope we're somewhat helpful today. We'll keep an eye on this. We'll be back tomorrow. Robin, have a wonderful day. Duane,
have a
wonderful afternoon
today.
There.
Yes. David, have a great day.
David, I'll see you guys.
Too. Do you have a webinar today?
We do, but it's not the webinar through our website. It's a separate webinar with a separate list and a company and all that. So no, we can't invite people. We don't have a way of inviting people to it, unfortunately. You have to be in their list in order to get there. So we don't have one today, but we do. Thank you for asking, Duane. We do have one tomorrow, Thursday, that you can come to, and we'll be going over Messenger Pro and some of the roadmaps and some of the things that we've recently done. We have a whole slew of new roadmaps that are on the list to come out. We're just simply putting our last touches on them to make sure that they're up to snuff so that they can be traded effectively. So tomorrow we'll have one, and gosh, I cannot believe that we're inching in on the end of the year. I just want to say it again. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me that we're in the month of December. And
zipping.
I know. It's amazing. So go live life well, because it's rushing by really quick. Try to enjoy this life. Trade well. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
And Duane, on Friday, do you want to announce the time for the Coach's Corner?
Yes, 3 p.m.
We're going to be discussing Superman Syndrome.
Okay, 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday, Coach's Corner. That's going to be a weekly show, 30-minute show. It might run over a little bit, but we're shooting for 30 minutes. And this week's topic is Superman Syndrome. So come, bring your questions. Love to have you as a part of that. And we really invite active participation. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you ask a really sensitive question that reveals something about you or makes you appear vulnerable or appear that you've made a mistake, when I read those questions, I'm very cognizant of maybe you not wanting your name put out there. And so I simply say, we have a question, and boom.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Robin will be able to see your question. I'll be able to see your question. But we're the only ones. And if Michael chooses to come or Bert chooses to come, which they're, of course, invited. And David, you're welcome to come if you'd like. But
thank you.
Always. So I want you guys to know that you're – and that's part of what CFRN is all about. It's a place where you come, and it's not the locker room where you're going to get snapped in the behind with a wet towel. This is a place where you're going to be treated with dignity and respect. And once you start to trust us, and that's when we'll snap you, all right? So, no, I'm kidding. All right, David, we'll enjoy the webinar this afternoon. Hope everything goes well for you.
Robin, I appreciate that.
Thanks for reminding
me
about
Friday. Have a great
day, guys. And I'll see you both back here again tomorrow.
Thank you very much. See you guys all tomorrow.
Okey-dokey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
I didn't notice what time it was.
Okay, guys, that's going to pretty much do it for me. There was a question earlier that said, I thought you put out the weekly trading zones at the beginning of the week. The question was asked, and then when I answered it, I didn't get a response. But anyway, I thought you put out the weekly trading zones at the beginning of the week for the partners, and we do. The question was, well, why did you just put 14, 15, 16 up there? I had it up on Monday, and I had left this little square to show that area, but oftentimes the chart starts to get a little bit crowded, so we're always very transparent. I don't come in on Monday and immediately show all the weekly trading zones for the same reason that David doesn't, you know, give out every single trade that they have, because he has subscribers who pay for that information. And, of course, we have partners who are entitled to, you know, first dibs on that information. So I usually will only show one or two zones that happen to be in play. Right now, what we have in play is the high of the week up here at 14.21.22. We have this zone here, which, coming into Monday morning, price held. 14, 15, 16, weekly trading zone. It ran up to the next zone overhead, 21, 22. You'll notice here on hourly candles, we never closed above that zone. We then came back down to the zone at 15, 16, where we traded sideways for 3 hours, consolidating at the zone. Price then made its move down to the next zone, which is at 1409, 1408. And so when it hit the zone here, it consolidated for 1, 2, 3 hours. And finally, at the end of the third hour, it was able to close just below the zone. That pushed us down into a partner swing trade. But once it got to 14.02 and put in this double bottom, we kind of pulled the plug on that trade, and we said, you know what, you've got some profit in the trade. Maybe you just want to take it. Or worst case, you want to get your stop to break even so that you don't end up losing money on a profitable trade. And that was a good call, because we then went back up to the zone at 14.08, 14.09, and we then consolidated for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You could argue 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hours in total. I mean, we came down a little bit, but right back up to it. And then we caught the rally. And that rally pushed us above the zone, didn't get us to the next zone, This is where the futures market had a glitch, so we're missing data. And when the markets restart tonight, perhaps that missing data will get filled in. I meant to ask David what his chart looked like, because my understanding is that this affected all platforms because the glitch was at the exchange level. It was not localized to any one particular broker or platform. It was sort of an across-the-board kind of thing. So we sold off this morning. We did not get to our next lowest trading zone. So there's an unfulfilled expectation there for us. Okay, we got close. We got really close, but we didn't quite get there. Now, on this run back up, we got within one tick of the zone at 1516. Okay. Is that right? One tick? 1414.75. Yeah, we got back to one tick. Now, this thing moved up pretty briskly through that, but we've already had quite a bit of consolidation here and here. So I don't know that the market feels the need to come back and consolidate here. We'll see what happens. If we do get back to the 1516, I will be watching that closely for a potential move to the downside. Okay? And my first indication of that will be a close back below the CFMA1, which is the backbone of our indicator set. It's our primary indicator. And you're welcome, Just. My pleasure. We always want to be very transparent. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. You know, sometimes you feel like, hey, you know, they're pretty nice guys. I don't really put them on the spot. But, you know, if you got a question, ask. Because we'll just tell you the truth. and that's an issue in and of itself. Because sometimes when you just tell people the truth, they don't always like it. But at least it's the truth. So it's better to tell you the truth once, you know, and then to try and duck and weave and dodge and evade. And, you know, we just tell you, hey, that's the deal. You know, as far as the hourly chart, I've been breaking this down for a while, and I said I was going to stop, but gosh, it's just hard. Right here on the hourly chart, there was a call for lower prices. And I went over this yesterday, but I mean, if you don't see the importance of this, I don't know what to say, because it's really kind of important. The call for lower prices was established at 1413.5. We traded down to 1402. That's a day's work. The call for higher prices came at 1403.75. And if you only took that back to the zone, not this spike, but just to the zone, from 1403.75 up to 1408, that's a four-point trade. And that's a couple days' work. And then the call for lower prices. Now, this one got interesting because there was a call for lower prices at 1406. Then we get a call for higher prices, but we're sitting right under this zone. I mean, there's this, you know, like this 10,000-pound weight sitting on the head of the market. And so it tries valiantly. See those wicks? But once this thing closes back here, it's like it couldn't do it. And so this call, and so that's why on this one, you know, that close to the zone, I would have wanted to wait another hour and get another hourly candles confirmation. Just like over here, you could have waited for some additional confirmation before getting into that trade. Over here, you could have waited, closed below a zone, closed back up inside of a zone, closed back. You know, you could have taken action off of this first call for shorter prices. Or you could have waited 3 hours and got in at virtually the same spot, because you've got a double confirmation now that there's a call for lower prices. And so that was just a really nice move. Here, back to the zone. Lower prices took us down to 1401.5. And then right here, we get the call for higher prices, right there on that green candle. Okay, because it closes on the north shore of the CFMA1. Now that close is at 1404.25. And it took us up to 1413. So 1404.25. Again, if you just went to the zone, that's a nice trade, you know, but the total run was up to 13. And then right here, again, call for lower prices. That call came at 1405.25. And from 1405.25, we traded down to 1396.75. So that was 8-9 points. And then here, call for higher prices. That call came in at 1409.5, and we went up to 1414.75. A really good day's work going from zone to zone right here. Although we came one tick shy, and that's why I always try to remember to remind you at least once a week that a weekly trading zone is an area. Okay. We get accustomed to seeing it go and sit in the zone and trade sideways or consolidate right at the zone. But sometimes, you know, it gets within a tick and then it's done for a while. It may come back. It may revisit it. But we are right back in that area that I talked about on Sunday night when I said this looks to be, you know, sort of a range-bound week with spikes in either direction depending upon who's making comments on Capitol Hill. And here we are in that same area. You know, we've done all this and all this and some of this, but we're right back where we were. That's a tight range with spikes on either side. So the last call was for higher prices, which we got. One more time, that went from 1409.5 was the close, and it went up to 1414.75. Think about that, 1409.5 to 1414.75. It's a pretty good move. And on this, your stop's pretty easy to spot. You would need to be right below the weekly zone to keep you into that trade. Yesterday, I was participating in this, and price rallied all the way back up into the zone, but I had put a stop here just above it, and you know, when it came back up here, I was like, oh boy, this may take me out, but it didn't. Came right back down. And so when you get situations like that where here you have a call for lower prices, okay, and then it does this, but your call for lower prices is now reaffirmed. You go sideways for a bit. Then you get this big wick up above and you close back again. Because you had this movement above, this is almost like a fresh call. And this fresh call closed at 1405.25. And it traveled down to 1401.5. Okay. You know, our belief is that a couple points a day, as you build your contracts over time, that is certainly a very substantial living. I mentioned this yesterday. Michael X, the guy who comes on the show from time to time, David's friend who trades, you know, more contracts than most of us can imagine, even though he's trading all that weight, to him, a good day is still a couple points in the market. When I asked him that question on live radio, I had no idea how he was going to answer that. But that's how he answered it, and it kind of backed up everything I've been saying now for quite a few years. Tim, your question, do you set your stop if hourly bar closes back below your line? Well, here's the thing. On this move up, are you asking what I... would I still be in this move? Well, it went to the zone, so I don't know that I would still be in it. But there's not a call in the other direction until we get a close back below it. So based on where this is positioned right here, you know, if I were in this trade, and I'm not, I would want my stop to be just below the zone. Because, see, it can do this. It can spike. It can spike up above it and still honor the direction of the trade. So here, I mean, it could come down. It could spike and then still continue up. Okay? What we're looking for is when it closes above. That's when I say a call. And I walked through a few of these yesterday. I'll go through a couple of these really quick because everybody wants to know, well, can that happen on a smaller time frame? I walked it through it yesterday. There's your call right there for lower prices because you close on the south side. Now the close is 14.13 and a quarter. And the swing low was 14.10. So that was a 3.25 point move. This call was at 14.11.75, and it went to 14.13.50. Okay. 14.11.75 to 14.13.50. So that's there. Over here, call for higher prices came in right there, and that candle closed at 14.11 and a quarter, and prices ran up to 14.14.75. So from 11 and a quarter to 14.75. Over here, call for lower prices. That closed at 14.12 and it went down to 14.10.75. So again, closed at 14.12, went to, 14.09.75. And back over here. This one got a little tricky because it was such a big, strong move up. But the initial call for a higher price came in, well, here was your call for lower prices here. And that close was 14.04.50. And it was never negated until this point right here. And by the time that happened, price was at 13.99.75. So from this close at 14.04.50 down to here where you get freaked out at 99.75. That's still a very nice trade. So this call for higher prices, it gave you a couple ticks, not a lot. Reversed, came right back down. But you see how if you were following this thing all the way down, okay, this close, this is saying look for lower prices. This is saying look for higher prices. So if you were just following this thing down, however you're doing it, right there is your signal to exit the trade. Now, whether you choose to go long there or not, if you're exiting a short trade, that's up to you. I will say this, and this is what you'll see repeated over and over. On this closing candle, which was right on the line, I would have probably on this one, I might have gotten out of the short trade here, but as far as going long, I would probably want to see a break of the high of this candle because this sort of confirms it. And as you can see, we never traded above that. So we come back here, we get a call for lower prices. That closes at 98 and it drops to 96.75. So not a big move, but point and three quarters. If you had a tick of slip on each end, that's still a point in it. Okay. And then here, this is where the big move up started. clear as day. That close was 1398 and a quarter. This is where it closed, 1398 and a quarter. Now, the first time you would have had cause for worry would have probably been right here. It says look for some lower prices. But notice we never took out the low of this candle. And so here, you've now got a call for higher prices again. So there was a call, but never a trigger if you're using that break of the low of the signal candle to get in. Here is the call for higher prices, and then this candle breaks that high. And so that puts you back into the market on the long side. The call came at 1402. And it pushed the market right back up to here. And that would have been 1405 and a half. So like a 3.5 point move. So on an extended move like that, you're going to get a little bit of this. And so you have to do some thinking, you know, after the fact, historically and all of that, it looks kind of like, oh my goodness, well, you just can't go wrong with that. Well, that's not true. Given all the best information in the world, you still have to understand the flow of the market. You need to know what's going on in the bigger picture. You need to understand that once the setup reveals itself, gives you the call, you know where your trigger is. For you, the trigger may be one tick. It may be two ticks. It may be just the open of the next candle. Okay. You get to define your own parameters. You get to experiment. You get to go back and look at historical charts. You get to trade in the simulator. You get to carve in stone exactly how I'm going to handle this. Because look for lower prices. Look for higher prices. Look for lower prices. Look for higher prices. Now, what did this one just say here? So look for lower prices. So what's the low of this candle here? The low of this candle is 1410.50. So if that low is 1410.50, if you want to look at two ticks below the low of the signal candle, that's going to be 1410 and a quarter. No, I'm sorry, that's going to be 1410. Okay? So what you would then do is if you're going to use a bracket order, you would just tell it to sell 1410 on a stop. Now where does... Now this gets outside the realm of our normal 10,000 contract setup where we're trading pullbacks. Trading a pullback and trading by entering on a stop, either long or short, it's a different animal. Okay. So here, when you get triggered, and if you get triggered, you want to have your bracket set. If you're using the two-tick rule, if that's what you've decided is in your best interest, you won't get triggered into this trade until price touches 1410. Once it touches 1410, you will be short the market. Okay? Now, if you look left, this low was 1410. This is going to put you short at 1410. That's a double bottom. So you might say, you know, I think I want to go another two ticks down. You can do that. Okay? Or you can say, I'm good with just a break of that low. I kind of favor the two ticks. Now, what happens if it closes right back up above again? Okay? Then the short side never got triggered based on anything. Unless you were simply selling the open of this candle, which I really don't recommend. Because it looks like this candle wants to close back above and continue the upside. and either test this swing high or this swing high. Okay. There's 5,600 contracts left in this candle. Now, we don't know where that candle is going to close until it closes. Okay. So you have to be patient. You have to wait it out. And as you can see by this number, you can also watch this number and look to see if large blocks start going through. When it's changing by 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, that's retail trader activity. When you start seeing blocks go through 50, 75, 100, then you might have a little something different going on. Okay? Okay, so until this closes, you don't have a call. There's no call to action until this candle closes. Tim asks, have you tracked the success rate of this setup when the bar moves across a line and closes? Do you find it more consistent on different time or volume charts? Well, quite frankly, and I know this sounds rather absurd, but as I've just pointed out to you, the hourly chart is, it's rarely wrong. Now, sometimes you get a big move, and sometimes you get a smaller move, okay? But if you're on the free trial, you have access to the indicator. Higher prices, got higher prices. Lower prices, got lower prices. Higher prices, got higher prices. Lower prices, got lower prices, but not by much. See, this is where you have to be aggressive with your risk management. Where are you going to put it? You're going to put it right above the line. You're going to put it right above the zone. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say is that, in my opinion, you need to put it above the line. So what you can do, Tim, I don't know if you're, Tim, are you a partner? Are you on a free trial or you already taken a free trial? Okay, then you have access to the charts, so you should go test it. You should test it on a 10,000, on an hourly, on a daily. I mean, let's go look at the daily side of the equation. I pointed it out earlier. On a daily chart, here's a call for higher prices on natural gas. Okay, on natural gas, that closed at 369. That was the close of that candle, 369. And it ran up here to $4.4050. And then here's the call for lower prices, and that's what happened. And if we go back a little bit, and this is just a market at random. This is not a market I even trade. There's a call for higher prices. You got them. Call for lower prices. You got them. Call for higher prices. You got them. Call for lower prices. Couple ticks. You know, probably end up scratching out at a break even on that or a small loss. And a call for higher prices takes you way up here. Now, call for lower prices. If, let's see, now this closed at 824. The low here, 775. But because this thing trades in some kind of weird increment, if you were using the two-tick rule, I don't think, you might have got triggered into this. Okay? And this might have been one where you just, you know, got stomped out. Okay. Up here, the call for higher prices, this candle never traded above the high of that candle, so you'd have never got triggered in long right there. What it does do is it closes back below the line, and you do get lower prices. Closes above the line, you get higher prices. Closes below the line, you get lower prices. Okay, so that's, what is that? That's natural gas. Let's just go to gold. Here is the call for lower prices, which we definitely got. And over here, this is on a daily chart now. This is a really big picture. You got to have a sizable account to hold gold overnight. This closed up at 1754. This day, the high was 53.1. So you would have never got triggered on the long side here. But on this, you would have gotten triggered on the short side and done pretty nicely. Okay. When you hear me talk about the underlying fundamental rhythm of the market, that's what we're talking about. Okay. This isn't about some thing. This is about the heartbeat. This is just how markets work. It's an auction-style market. People on the bid and people on the ask. And the price, you know, oscillating back and forth between the bid and the ask. Even as it's climbing, it's doing that back and forth. And as it's falling, it's doing the back and forth. See, what other market can we throw up? I guess soybeans we could look at and see what that looks like. It's on a daily chart as well. Looks like I can crunch some data. Okay, the call for higher prices came here at 1413 and a quarter, and we've gone up to 1477 without that call being negated. Over here, we got a call for lower prices, but that never got triggered. Do you see? Because we never broke the low of this candle. So even there's a call for lower prices, it was never triggered to the short side. Because this candle did not break the low of this candle. It goes back up, gives a call for higher prices, but this candle never breaks the high of this candle. Then you get a call for lower prices. So here's a call that was never triggered. Here's a call that was never triggered. Here's a call that actually got triggered. Now, on that close, which was at 1525.75, ultimately the market declined to 1372.25. That's a pretty big move. Here's your call for higher prices right here. Here's your trigger as you break that high. And away you go. So, I mean, we could go on forever, but it won't change anything because we're dealing with the underlying rhythm of the market. The latest call here was for higher prices. Go back to the 10,000 because we were waiting to see. Okay, this call for short never got triggered. Okay, now we may get a potential close. We got 327 contracts left to go. Okay. So now, based on where this candle closes, 84 contracts, 83, 82. See, those are small. Those are retail trades. 80. See how this countdown is, it's beneficial in that it helps you prepare for what the next thing is going to be. Okay, it closed right there. Okay, the high of that is 1412.75. So we want to be at 1413 and a quarter. Okay, you see that? Call for higher prices. 14. The close was 1412.25. So I want to be at 1412.75. Get that right. No, I mean, I want to be above the high by two ticks. So 1412.75, so that's 1413 and a quarter. Okay, so now all I have to do is sit and wait. I could put on a bracket order that says buy 1413 and a quarter on a stop. And all of my orders would fill with a two-point bracket. I can move the target out. I can adjust the target to compensate for this Okay. Now, we don't teach that in the live trading room. Okay. We use a hard two-point stop. But you're getting into something a little bit different here. Okay. Often these trades will allow you to risk less than 2 points. When that happens, you need to take advantage of that. So see, unless price trades to 14, 13 and a quarter, this call for higher prices will go unanswered. Short went unanswered. This long could go unanswered. We won't know until it happens. Could get a close back below. Now, here's a word that you start seeing, you know, these unanswered calls for action, okay? You're in a choppy area. It might be time to go walk the dog or make a sandwich or do whatever it is you do, yoga, I don't know. Hang upside down on one of those little things that are good for your back. Dwayne, my 10,000 contract already closed above the MA1. I have a different count and my chart looks different. Well, Angelo, your chart is going to look a little bit different because this is counting contracts. So if I turned my computer on at 9:01 a.m. and fired up my charts, it's going to start counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And once 10,000 contracts have been traded, it's going to create a new candle. And then once 10,000 trade, it's going to create a new candle. Now, let's say you fired your computer up at 9:03, okay? Yours is going to do the same thing. It's going to count 1, 2, 3, up to 10,000, and then create a new candle. But the starting point is going to be different on yours than on mine. If I were to close my platform right now and reopen it, okay, it would pull in a different data set, and my own chart would look a little different. But that doesn't change the underlying swings. Okay? Now, I've got to close above the MA1. So we're just waiting. Okay, will this go unanswered? 6,000 contracts left to trade. And I'm not going to be able to hang around to see how it ends up. Unless it starts to move really quick. Dan asked, do the CFR indicators work on other platforms? No. we compiled our indicators to work specifically with Burton Leslie at Daniels Trading. They're the only broker that we recommend. They provide our partners tremendous support. Whether you're a big trader or one contract trader, they treat you exactly the same with dignity and with respect. They have a wealth of information. They've been traders for years as well as brokers for years. Leslie used to be a broker for one of the famous turtle traders. And when you call them with a question, they don't just give you a broker's answer. They give you the broker's answer with the understanding of a trader. Because there's a good chance, if it's an E-mini future, they're probably in that trade too. Or potentially are in that trade. Or if it's a commodity, corn, soybeans, crude, they might even be in that trade too. So they really can speak to you with great clarity about the trade. Because they understand the risk, they understand the target, they understand the emotional duress you might be under, because they might be under that exact same duress at any given moment. So we designed it specifically to work with them, and if you choose not to become a client of Daniels Trading, that's fine. We do have an offer where you can rent the platform. If you're not going to trade with them, you can rent the platform for $50 a month if you become a partner, so you can still chart with us. We have a few partners who do that. In particular, some of the partners who are in Canada, where there are some issues with Canadians being able to trade futures in some American brokerage accounts. That's why we really created it, but other people have chosen to take advantage of it. The majority of traders over time after a few phone calls and interactions with Bert and Leslie, they quickly begin to see the value of having them as your broker. You get great intraday rates. You get a very fair commission, round-turn commission. There's just no better answer or solution in my book. And I've had a number of platforms and a number of futures brokers over the past 7 years. And this is where I will hang my hat till the end of time and or something drastically changes. But for the foreseeable future, there would be no reason for me to ever move. If somebody comes along and offers a cheaper commission, I'm not interested in that, okay? Because I know that the commission I pay is fair, and I know that cheap does not always mean better, okay? And in the grand scheme of things, the amount that you pay on commissions is a small part of the overall. I know people who their commissions run, you know, and I'm not talking about the big guy Michael. I'm talking about some more, you know, average folks like us. Their commissions run $250,000 a year. But that's relative to the number of contracts and how active a trader that they actually are. So, Jonathan, you said, is that December 2nd? I'm not sure which day. Tell me again, are you referring to this chart? Oh, this chart is today, December 5th. Oh, December 22nd, is that the end of the world? Oh, I think it's the 22nd. Oh, I said until the end of time. There you go. Yeah, I guess so. Until December 22nd or until further notice, you know. If we all wake up on the morning of the 23rd and we still have electricity and markets, then, yeah, I'll still be I'll be hanging my hat with them. Hey, look at how long we've gone sideways. Call for lower, never triggered. Call for higher, never triggered. This closed right at the line. It didn't close below it. So the call is still in for higher. And we still need to take... This was the original call. And so if you want to be in two ticks above that, you're still looking at this right here. 8,000 contracts to trade. I got to go, guys. I wish I could hang around and watch this thing play out. I normally leave the hourly chart up for you. I'll leave this one up today just so you can see if and what anything happens if that gets taken out to the upside. I can't draw a line on the bottom side because we don't have that call for lower prices. We had one. It was negated because it never triggered. Higher, we've been waiting. This is our third candle. We're waiting to get two ticks above that high to get triggered in. And I know you might be saying, well, yeah, but you're running right into that swing high right there. Yeah, I'm aware of that. And if that is of concern, then you could bump it up a tick or two above that if you wanted. I mean, if this thing is going to run, it's going to run. I would keep in mind that you've got overhead 1415/16, which is a weekly trading zone. Now remember, if we close back below, okay, then we're looking for lower prices. Until one of them confirms by triggering. And if I get a chance to pop back in here in a few minutes, I will, and I'll see what's happened, and I'll type some notes in on the screen. And just so you have it in front of you, the zone to watch below, if it gets triggered on the short side, it's 1409, 1408. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, this guy, he comes on here every day, end of the show, been doing it for months, going, hey, you know, this is pretty simple, this is prehistoric, this is barbaric, you know, that can't be for real, and that can't really work. Okay. I'm too tired to argue. Not just today, but just in general. I'm too tired to argue the point. I don't have any fight left in me. It is what it is, you know, and any of you that are on the free trial, good Lord, go find that time frame that really speaks to you, whether it's a range chart or a time chart or a tick chart. The hourly, you know, if you can handle the, if you can accommodate the risk profile, if you have the risk profile, if you can accommodate the stops to trade the hourly, that one is like so predictable. It really is. And you should watch for no other reason than just to watch it. You don't ever have to place a trade. But you do have the simulator to place trades if you want to place a trade. So, and it doesn't cost you any money to place a trade in the simulator. But you know, back in the day when simulators first came about, usually they weren't real time. And the whole thing was not very realistic. Today, that has changed. They are pretty realistic. All right, looks like, now keep in mind that we're defining a choppy market here, okay? Below, never confirmed, above, never confirmed, and now below. See how quick these move. I know for those of you listening after the fact of the podcast, it must be just maddening to go, gosh, I wish I could see what he's talking about. Well, all I can suggest is that you come hang out with us live. Okay, I really do got to go, so it's just not moving fast enough. We still got 3,000 left on my chart on this candle. If you have any questions, feel free to email them, support@cfrn.net. If you're a partner, we'll be happy to go over this tomorrow night in the live trading room, in the partner's workshop. We've done it in the past, but if you have questions, we can do it again. The beauty is you can just go look at it yourself. Okay, you don't really, I've already shown you everything you need to know. All you need now is the CFMA1 indicator. That's kind of it. It's pretty much that simple. If you've not taken the free trial, by all means, I encourage you to do that. Go to cfrn.net/apply. No credit card required, just a name and an email address. We give you the platform. We give you the indicators, all the tools. Spend 5 days in the trading room. Hang out with us. Ask tons of questions. We'll do everything we can to make sure you understand what's really going on. And then you can make a decision as to whether or not becoming a CFRN partner is in your best interest. Because as much as we want you to be a partner and as much as we want you to be a part of our community and as much as we want you to benefit from our tuition reimbursement program, first of all, we want this to be the right thing for you. That's why we give you an opportunity to kick the tires, turn over the rocks, and ask the questions. I don't know of any way to be more fair than that. So, with that said, thank you all so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.